to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Yep. Howdy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You forgot
my birthday, didn't you?
Oh my God, yeah.
September 18th.
Okay, good, that's all.
Okay.
Now on with the show.
Sorry to disappoint.
No, thank you.
Welcome to an absolutely syndicated Don and Mike Show, where we always give you the laughs you need on the eighth. Starring a man whose agent isn't vigorous, and he invites you to come use his pool anytime. It's Michael Thorpe as the finest DJ in America, John Geronimo.
Howdy.
And he sits and really works it a lot. He's the inventor of the world-famous Lil Mikey Burger, and he can have a panic attack at any moment. He's Michael Sean Patrick O'Mara, and Mike O'Mara, with the sexiest, swingin'est newsies ever to grace the glass and close room. He makes men cry and women swoon. It's Michael Wilson and
there he is.
And as the junior apprentice producer, he's a wife-beating Nazi and a real-life Donkey Kong. It's Robert Wadham Seawag.
How do?
Shut up.
Also featuring an Asian stone who has many parameters and the best face British actor around.
There's someone else to turn that on.
Slowly working his way up the dynamite totem pole. He's a webmaster and extraordinaire. A guy who sits in the back room with a really sweet chair. It's the associate junior apprentice producer, Johnny Gordon.
Hi, Johnny. Hi, Johnny.
Today's episode of John and Mike is brought to you by Mark. From the world down to my headquarters in Plastic Rockville, Maryland.
Yeah.
Caught dead in rich Corinthian reverb. Here's Doug and Mike! Oh, I'm here for him! Oh.
I love that one.
Yeah.
That one is good and retarded.
Yeah.
Thank you to, what is that chap's name?
Harry Carey.
Glenn Darren. Glenn Darren, like Darren on the list. Thank you. Oh, like Darren on the list. Like my two dicks. Right. Oh, phone numbers, we got them.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
All right, well.
Hello!
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi there. Already here. I need the doors on that side.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
All right, thank you, Ed. Don and Mike Show, and back from our holiday, everybody. And thank you for listening. And it's a new episode on this Monday. My birthday, Mike. Happy birthday. Sorry. 09-18-06. The phone number we gave it to you a second ago. One number to waiting. Jesus. 877.
With all you've done for my birthdays in the past.
Well, you know, the motto. The Michael Mara motto.
I treat people the way I want to be treated.
877-365-3636.
Sorry.
Don't worry. 877-365-3636.
All I know is I'm coming in tomorrow with car keys.
That's the, That's the phone
number. The only way you can make it up. Okay.
No,
you know what? I don't care if I make it up. I'm going to do it whether you want me to or not. But
I
got this for you.
This is bad.
This is the, you got this till we play out the string. You got this on me forever.
This is the better gift than you could have got me.
Technically, it is. But yeah, I mean, there's no better gift than I could have given you. The gift of ball busting for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, so anyway, it's 877-365-3633. That's Huey Lewis off. 877-365-3636. You can email us, hear us on the internet. Go to our website, donandmikewebsite.com. You can email us there at donandmikewebsite.com. And podcasts and downloads and all that crap that's out there for you.
You've hired, like, marching bands for my birthday. You've made it a national holiday, banners and everything. And here I can, how do I repay you? I'm very, very sorry.
And I'm sincerely very, very sorry.
You don't care that much, but
I don't like the big birthday brouhaha like you do.
I'd be pissed.
But in real life, you know, like, I got here at the normal time, and I'm doing my stuff. And
right.
I go upstairs to the office, and you say to me, oh, boy, I'm glad you're here. And you said, I'm glad we got some time. And I thought, super.
Yeah.
Go sit down at the desk, get ready for a card that'll make me laugh.
Yeah. Right.
Nice gift. And said, well, you'll hear later what Mike was telling me about. Here's a shock. It was about his personal life.
Really?
And, you know, when I realized that you weren't just effing with me, that you had just totally forgotten it was my birthday, was
right
at the very end when this person that we were talking about, you said, oh, and I made this person dinner because it's her birthday.
Yes, yes.
And I went, oh, okay.
Yeah.
See ya, pal.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Thank you, buddy.
But, you know, and
you're the man, Mike.
In our way, I know that I've given you the gift that certainly will keep on giving you.
Or have you?
See, there it begins. There, I'm. I'll have to go. You know, I'll have to go to that belated section of the store. And you know, normally your birthday, we're working when you're like well before your birthday falls, right? And at least I'll have reminders.
Same time every year, Mike.
No, but I mean, we're not, you know, we don't come back from a vacation on your birthday.
We're not
right?
usually just back.
Once every 7 years we do, or whatever the cycle of days is on the calendar.
Because then I have the advantage of you know, everyone else's thoughtfulness.
So
and,
last year...
I remember last year, right?
Because last year, we were just coming off 2 months after Frida had passed.
Right.
So you were really on top of it. As a matter of fact, because my birthday last year was going to be while we were on vacation,
right.
You actually gave me a bunch of stuff.
Let me look at you. You got to pull these things away.
I really got to eyeball you. You gave me a bunch of stuff before my birthday.
Last year, because you were so sensitive,
you know.
Yeah, where'd that go?
You were caring about that.
Where is that gone?
I don't know.
I'm serious. Feeling very introspective about it.
Okay, well.
So where's my sensitivity?
I don't know.
Excuse me.
It might be right there.
Excuse me so
bad.
Excuse me so bad.
Well, listen, now every phone is like what I hate. You know, with all these people.
Birthday.
Everybody I see on the screen, Zach and Corey, and he's all calling to say happy birthday. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It's very nice. If it works its way into the fabric of the show later, that's fine with me. I'd rather just focus right now on...
And I certainly can't
on
do...
On Mike.
I can't do what I do with the other lads either, you know. I mean, that would insult you. I have to put a little...
What, send Joe to the ATM?
Yeah, no.
And then cut up one of your publicity pictures you give to me
that,
as a card?
That can't be done with you. That would be disingenuous, you know. And but I'll thank you. What's that?
I think you'd like the card. The homemade card.
I don't know. Well, we don't have any of the materials for that anymore. I have to go to the store and buy a card, and it'll be a day late, and that's just the way it's going to be, if I remember it tomorrow. Yeah. And you know what? I mean, for God's sake.
I know, 50-50.
That's 50. That's my... Maybe that's 60-40. What time are the stores open till this evening? I want to make sure I take care of this.
Till the street lights go out, Mike.
Until
all the kids have to come in.
I want to make sure that the town crier in my brain, you know, doesn't let me forget this.
Walmart closes at 6:52.
Right, 6:52. Damn.
All right. Well, hi, Andy. It's great.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. It's great to be back after a couple of weeks away. I know.
Yeah. Just keeps getting better.
You're the greatest.
Yeah.
can I make you feel a little worse? Because I know you do when you hear about your peers.
Yeah.
That, of course.
Oh, I don't. I mean, I can imagine.
Of course, Rob had
a very humorous card.
Right.
And two gifts that are thoughtful and wonderful.
Right.
Buzz actually gave me a surprise kamikaze visit at my house yesterday because his gift he could not bring to work.
Right.
He got me like...
He would have rotted.
8 gazillion of those steaks.
Oh.
Those Omaha steaks.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I love those things.
I love steaks.
That's wonderful.
I love steaks. So see how...
So happy for
see how
I'm
thoughtful
so happy
they
for
are.
Those guys.
See how thoughtful they are.
Pricks.
About it.
Swear to God.
Old Joe back there. I don't expect nothing from Joe. Hell, Joe makes a minimum wage. You know what I got from Joe today?
Wait, what'd you get from him?
Happy birthday.
Oh, well, he gave you a little happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least that. At least he remembered.
That's my guy.
I am the worst.
You are.
I am the worst.
You're the best of the worst, though.
I am the best of the worst.
If it means anything to you.
Right. Right.
And you're consistent.
I am consistent. This is what makes this bad is that you know is all the times when that you know really not from a lot of prodding from me that the you know you'd orchestrate kind of these wonderful like big deals.
You like having a big deal.
I do.
Your birthday.
I do. And that makes me feel a lot worse. You know. But as I said, it's something that I
incidentally your
I am consistent.
Your birthday, which was just over 2 months ago.
Yes. It was another great day. It was another big special. Day and I believe that
how's that high def DVD player working out that I got?
I was concerned that it didn't work, but it turned out to be the Full Metal Jacket DVD that was the problem. And I watched U571 just this past Saturday night, and it worked beautifully. And,
nice,
and it worked wonderfully.
It's a nice cutting edge gift.
It is a very cutting edge gift.
Great.
I could you know never hope to duplicate.
No, you could not.
Could never ever help to duplicate that.
Yep. That's why I say Mike treats people the way he wants to be treated.
No, I don't. No,
yes,
obviously. Obviously, I don't.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. I'm done with the ball busting.
No, you're not.
No, in this case, I am.
For the immediate future, I'm sure you are, but I know for you know long term, this is. I have given you a gift. This is something you will be able to pull out of your pocket. And at any moment,
but it won't. But you'll know that it doesn't really matter to me that much. It's not vital. But you're right. No, it'll be a nice card to have.
It's fun.
I would not consider it to be an ace in the hole.
Pretty damn close.
I consider it to be a face card.
You know, whenever I get
it's
into
a
any
jack,
discussion,
maybe a queen.
Whenever I get in any discussion now from this point forward about anything. Like where I'm telling someone, where I'm lecturing someone, I'm being responsible or thoughtful. That will be.
Well, when do you lecture anybody about
constantly.
Being?
Well, don't I do that? When did the whole thing about treat others the way I want to be treated?
Oh, that's because I was busting your balls because you forgot something else. I think.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm a nice person. I think.
I agree.
You have.
A
you think
heart.
So?
Yes.
Okay.
No question.
I mean, I know I have a temper and all that. Build myself up. Build yourself up, Mike. Work on that self-esteem.
That's right. Oops, hi, hold on.
What happened to your microphone?
I do not know.
It virtually hit the back. Well, very, very happy birthday. And and I would only think that hopefully that the belated thing that I provide
Shut up.
Will in some way make up for this tardiness.
Shut up. You know, just shut up.
Let me call the fine people at American Service Center.
See
what they can have delivered this afternoon.
Okay, listen.
Right over.
I've got so much vacation stuff, and I know Mike has vacation stuff, as I found out upstairs when I was not getting anything for my birthday.
Ah.
And I even know that good old Buzz, when I saw Buzz yesterday, he threw in this nugget. We may not even get to it, but it looks like the highlighted Buzz.
Well, there were nuggets.
At one point during his vacation, did throw up on himself in his car. Not because he was drunk, because he had
viral.
He had had some of that. He had had spinach in a bag, right?
Oh, and he had. I got it cheap. I didn't know, but I love spinach. Man, oh man! So you threw up on yourself in your car?
I did. Spinach in a bag.
That's nasty. Yeah, it is.
It's not pleasant.
Rob and I don't have to worry about those health warnings when they have the spinach warning.
Why?
Oh, because that is far too healthy to be.
You've never seen anybody as happy as me. I was going through the pantry like, lala, I hate this crap anyway. Goodbye.
Do you eat yourself a lot of spinach?
Yeah.
Like the fresh variety, like a spinach salad type stuff?
Stuff that comes in the bag, yes.
Really?
Right. Put it on some
I don't eat
chicken.
A lot of spinach. I eat a lot of lettuce. I don't eat a lot of spinach.
Put it on some chicken sometimes.
Very healthy, usually. What I use it for is I use it for wiping. might be a little bit of the problem.
A lot
problem.
Of people are doing that
yeah.
now.
Well, yeah. I find it softer than toilet paper.
Uh-huh. So far, no E. coli in any bakery.
What I do is I use it for wiping and then I return it to the store.
Guilty.
So it's you.
Very, very guilty.
Because I treat people the way I want to be treated.
Would you be a love and type in this, whatever this code word is here to get this thing going? Oh, yeah. You see that? I know what it is, but there you go.
There you go.
Just type that in. Beautiful. You didn't really have to center it.
It looks better. It's neater.
There you go. Okay.
What's he doing over there?
Everything is up and operating. There was a window that came up over the windows where the phones are, and I can see now that Joe has dropped off all of those.
Is everything nice. After the break? Everything is in working order?
Everything is great.
All right.
They're working great, Beav. Okay, so let's just get to it because I have ups and I have downs and in betweens that I want to get to.
All right.
From this last vacation, if you can call it a vacation. I'll call it a vacation.
You should.
I will call it a vacation, and I think that I had a good time for most of the time.
Okay.
But there was a lot of the time that I didn't have a good time.
All right.
And, where do I begin? Well, let's start with my poor sweet Max.
Your littlest dog.
My littlest dog, who over the last couple of weeks I had been talking about how he had been behaving badly. Max is no longer with us. Had to put him to sleep. Turns out, took him to the vet. He had pancreatic cancer and had diabetes. And to hear the vet say it, the signs like the peeing in the house, especially the last couple of weeks, that was just a sign that all this was happening.
Involuntary.
He was not, you know. So to all the amateur psychologists that had been calling saying it was a separation anxiety from Frida or things are different in the house, no. Dog was very sick.
Yeah. Older Max was an older dog.
Too. Max is 11 years old.
11, that's old.
The vet said, I said, what if we don't do anything? And the vet said, he'll live 7 to 10 days.
Wow.
That's how fast it can come up on a dog. He had symptoms you don't look for.
Right.
So I can just tell you that his last couple of days were very peaceful. For those of you that love animals like I do,
sure.
And Frida did, and Jenna did it as well. She really helped me out a lot.
Good.
She did the Oogie stuff that I, you know, she came home with a box.
You know, I would imagine under normal circumstances that's tough in any way, but under your circumstances with everything you've been through, that's a little tougher than it would be under, you know, normal circumstances.
Sorry, your vacation had to start that way.
Yes, we'll just wait till the end. Now, there are no more dead dogs, but the end has an ending that's just almost as uplifting and happy.
The end of your vacation?
The end of the vacation.
Well, look, wow.
Just days ago. So poor Max has gone to the big playground in the sky, and I know he's up there with Rudy and Frida, and they're having a great time. So it's just Clink and myself now. And the German Shepherd, he doesn't know what's going on because all of a sudden I've got this thing happening with Max. My daughter was having spinal surgery, and I was supposed to leave town the next day. All this crap is going on. So my girlfriend was really a great help during all of this, getting this figured out. We got Max taken care of, my daughter taken care of, and then it was time for the big road trip because I'm an idiot. Because I said to nobody in particular, I know who I said this to. I said this to my son. I said this to my daughter. I said this to my doctor. I said this to my travel agent. I said this to some of my friends. Here was what I wanted to do. I wanted to go from Washington, D.C., to Clemson, South Carolina, to spend a day or two with my kid on a weekend to see how he's doing in college, and go from there to Orlando, Florida, where my daughter and the grandkids are flying down from the Twin Cities.
Okay.
And then from there, they will fly back to Minneapolis.
Right.
And I go back to D.C.
Sounds simple enough.
This would be very simple. Except I said to my travel agent and to anyone else who would listen, I said, no, listen, I want to tell you why I'm a smart man. Because you're talking about a week-long trip. You're talking about me not just going to crash for a night or two with my son.
Right.
You're talking about going to goddamn Universal Studios in Orlando. I've got to bring clothes, and I don't know what we're going to be doing for dinner, and I've got to bring bag, and of course I've got to bring shampoo, and I've got to bring all of my gels and my oils.
Your lotions, your salves, your balms. Your BALM.
That you can't get through security.
Your various youthful potions, the applicators.
I'm talking about traveling. If I go with this fairy tale of taking an airplane, I'm talking about flying on Labor Day Monday.
Oh.
I said, this will be a crowded, crazy day. Now, my travel agent said, well, your daughter's flying on Labor Day Monday. I said, well, she'll be fine. But for me, this is too much. I don't want to go from Charlotte to Orlando from Charlotte to Orlando.
Right.
I said it's going to be too much packing, unpacking with bags. Listen, I love the open road. I will just drive. I said it'll be so simple.
I remember when I heard you say this, and I didn't necessarily think it was that bad, and I think because you were going to stop and see your son.
It'll be a short drive to see my son,
yeah,
and then I'll get up early the next day, and it'll be a quick drive down to Orlando, and then it'll be a quick drive back home. Well,
Clemson like halfway?
Yeah. Clemson is halfway if you want to make a big left-hand turn and go towards Kansas. Clemson is halfway between D.C. and Orlando, but really if you go about 800 miles away from the coast.
Off to one side. Yeah.
So, I get up on Sunday morning, the very first Sunday of our vacation. I left my house at 5:30 a.m. I arrived in Clemson, South Carolina at 3:30 p.m. So that was a good solid 8-hour nonstop.
A little longer than normal?
No, about regular.
About right.
Just about regular. I pulled into Clemson at that point. I was still not overtired. I was feeling good at that point. It was like, oh, I'm on vacation.
A lot of driving.
Saw my kid. There was some weather front that was coming through. It was incredible, like tornado-like rains and stuff.
Right.
We ended up staying at his house where we had dinner, and we watched the movie Pauly Shore is Dead, which he convinced me I would like, and he was right about it.
Oh.
Had just the best time with him.
Right.
Monday morning. What a good egg this kid of mine has turned out to be. I mean, I never thought, as I would tell you before, that on a Monday morning when he had a class, he would have gone to bed the night before me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was watching some sports thing on TV.
Right.
I'm sleeping in his bed. He's on the couch. He wakes me up then on Monday morning.
Wow.
At 5:00, say, Dad, let's get you coffee and get you on the road.
Okay.
Right. Like Bizarro Bart.
Well, that's because I know the whole sleeping thing used to be an issue for him. So yeah. He's turned a corner on that. That's a good thing. 5 a.m., Jesus, that's so great.
He's up, and I said to him, are you sure you want coffee? You don't want to go back to sleep? And he's like, no, I'm going to handle the rest of the day. I got an early class. Don't worry about it. So I'm on the road, and I'm thinking, it's 5:40 a.m., and I am out of South Carolina.
Yeah, and I would imagine you're going to make great time.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah. I mean, at that hour.
Until I hit the fog. Oh. Until I hit the fog that was so incredibly dense, I actually had to pull...
That's what you didn't count on. Fog.
Right. I had
That'll
to
pull, really screw you up if you're driving.
I really had to pull the car off at a rest stop because I couldn't see.
I've seen movies where that's dangerous stuff. Yeah.
And I was just being...
The fog was one. Yeah.
I was just being a pisser. I was in some rest stop, like it's still in South Carolina, and I'm just looking at my watch going, this...
You'd probably hit the low country.
This will not do.
It's what they call it down there. It's the low country, and that's where there's swamps.
The temperature was crazy. It was like awful humid, and it had rained, and then it was starting to clear out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, meanwhile, my daughter's plane is arriving in Orlando at 3 o'clock.
So you're basically talking about the same amount of time, you're counting on the same amount of time that got you down to Clemson to get down to Orlando.
I'm thinking I'm going to be in Orlando, 1:30.
Wow. You will if you have the Batmobile now.
Well, so I'm just sitting in the fog.
Did you pull off to like a coffee shop or
No,
anything?
I pulled off at the rest stop off the interstate.
All right.
Was it a great rest stop?
It was the kind that had just vending machines.
Very nice.
But did have some old...
Were there any gay prostitutes?
Talk about Mike was South Carolina.
Oh, that's what so yeah.
Well, you know, were there any gay prostitutes?
But there was.
It was one of those deals where you pull off 95, And you go to the rest area, and it says vending machines only.
Right.
And you go into the bathroom, and there's some old dude, like, wearing an old-time janitor's outfit. And it's like, I guess this is a guy who's getting by with his Social Security, and his only job is to clean out the tapper.
Yeah.
And all he does is just sit there and eyeball you.
Yeah.
And he was giving me stadium stuff. I mean, when I originally pulled into this rest stop during this fog, I thought, God, I gotta go like a racehorse. I'm like, I cannot believe how bad I gotta go. This, I know this happened to everybody.
Right.
I get there, it's like, ah, oh, sweet release. Hold on. What's Burgess Meredith doing staring at me? There's a freaking penguin from Batman. Make sure you shake it, Brock. Make sure you do that. So what I do at this point is, I found that we are, I'm gonna take some back roads. And I'm just gonna try my luck. I put the navigation system.
Is it still foggy?
Still foggy. But what I'm going
to
do is...
I have to... This is the first time I must jump in.
Well, you forgot my birthday, so I'm sorry.
That is an error in judgment if you're taking back roads back and roads. It's foggy.
Fog. No, it's slow. It's slower.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's slower?
No, what I'm thinking, because on the highway, people are literally going on 95. They were going 10 miles an hour.
Oh, I thought this is the daredevil in you. This is the daredevil.
No, I'm using the logical side of my brain.
Well, you're not going to hit as much traffic, and you're going to kind of like
be able to cut loose. Be on a regular road where at least I can go 30 miles an hour.
Nice 30.
So what does that do is I hit the navigation system, and boy, this thing says, you know, it reconfigurates and everything, and it says make a left-hand turn ahead, and I'm doing this thing where I'm blindly following this, right, because I'm doing the best I can do to keep my eyes on the road, and I realize after about 45 minutes that the fog is starting to lift, and it still is saying, stay ahead 22 miles on I-95. And it's only at that point that I realize she's saying, on I-95 north. What I had done was gotten off the exit at I-95, and it had turned me around because I had pushed take me back to the last place that I was.
Oh.
So it was just taking me this bass-ackwards way back, fog. All the way like back through the fog back towards Clemson.
And how much space between exits are we
Well, at one point it was 29 miles between exits.
Yeah. The worst.
You know,
everybody's done that too. That anybody's done any car travel, that is the worst.
And you know, you can't freaking do that. You can't like cross the median because that's when Smokey Bear is going to be there.
Yeah, and it's you're trapped.
So anyway, at this point, I'm just thinking I am so just screw blued and tattooed. I turn around and I did what people hate. I became one of those bastards who found somebody with a radar detector. Somebody who had a big-ass radar detector right in the front of their car. And what I did was I just mirrored them.
Good.
For about 7 hours to the point where I know the guy knows that I was behind him.
Great. You're like drafting him.
Yeah, well, I was like four cars behind him.
Right.
And every once in a while I would catch up. And I would get behind him, and then I bravely would go ahead as if I'm going to leave now for a while.
Right.
And I would leave, and I'd see the... Because speed limit's 70, right?
And you feel kind of naked out there when you take the lead.
Speed limit is 70.
Right.
This guy's doing like 90, right? So I cut in front of him, and
they give you a ticket in South Carolina for 70.5.
I go, see you in a second. So I go right by him, and of course I pussy out every time. And it was about 7 hours is a stretch. This went on for at least a good 160, 180 miles, something like that, between like
3 hours.
Between Charleston and somewhere else south, between that and the Florida line.
Right.
We're finally, the guy pulled off on the side of the road. And I can only think that he did it just to get me to stop from just following his ass.
Then did you feel kind of exposed as soon as he did that?
Yeah, because then you got to go right back down to, you know, like 63 if the speed limit is like 55 or, you know, and also they screw with you because the speed limit will go from 50 to 65 to 70 back down to 50.
I've talked to people about South Carolina. It is one of the toughest states in the United States to drive it. I've talked to guys that were all law enforcement. There were five badges going down to play golf in the car and they gave them a ticket anyway.
Finally make it down there. I finally get to Orlando. It is 256.
That's not bad, though.
When I pull up in front of the hotel, I'm a little spazzed out because...
With the fog, I think you did all right.
Because everybody else is arriving late. I mean, arriving moments later, I'm late, so I go and
you drive right to the airport?
Mike had a car pick him up here.
Okay, good, good, good.
Right, had a van pick him up at the airport.
Bring him over to the hotel.
Now, this was the beginning of where it started to unravel a little bit. I'm going to sound like kind of a dick here, but when don't I?
Never Janet, in my mind.
Janet, thank you, Mike. Janet, my girlfriend, she could not...
You'll be getting that treatment for the entire week.
She could not go on this trip with me. She has a J-O-B.
Right.
So it was just me solo, and when I thought that Janet was going to be going down with me, and because, what the hell, it's a vacation, what I had really rented at this hotel down at Universal for myself was the FU suite.
Right.
It's like the captain's suite. So... I get there and
the star suite.
I'm checking in. I walk into this room and it's like I've died and gone to heaven.
Flippin' suite.
There are.
What a flippin' room.
You walk in and it's like something out of the movie Casino. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's got the picture windows and you see the amusement park outside and you see the pool and then it's got a library.
Wow.
And it's got flat screen TVs in all of the bathrooms.
Oh, there you go.
And it's got big, huge jacuzzis and it's got stuff where you push buttons and things go back and forth.
Yeah.
It's got a big dining room and it's got a kitchen. And the first thing I do, I'm in this room and I'm going, oh, man, Grandpa's going to party in here at night.
Yeah.
Christ. I call up my girlfriend and I say, huh. You have missed out on the trip of a lifetime. I'm telling you, they totally hooked me up with this room because I got a nice rate on it. I said, you're not going to believe this. And I'm telling her, I'm walking around like, it's got marble bathroom. I mean, gigantic, two flat screens. One so you can watch TV while you're taking a dump. Another one so you can watch TV while you're in the jacuzzi, you're taking a shower. I mean, in this room that I had, four separate mini bars.
Whoa!
That's how big
this
conglomeration.
A lot of windows too, I guess.
Of rooms was. Yeah, I mean, there were two living rooms, a dining room,
wow,
a kitchen, a library, one, two, three bathrooms.
Jesus.
And the king's bedroom. So, I am thrilled. I am thrilled. Now I got my second wind back. And
right.
Now
you're excited. Now it's adrenaline.
I'm downstairs in the lobby, and I'm making sure that I have all the packages and stuff so we can go to the park and everything.
Right.
And their car shows up, and they're great, and they're happy to see me, and I'm happy to see them. And we check in, and they give them the key to the room, and I don't even notice that it's on the same level as mine. Now, because I'm in this suite that I've paid through the nose for, you've got to put the key in first,
right,
and then you go up to the seventh floor because they have a very nice deal where they have an open bar in the afternoon.
Right.
But because they're raping you for the price
sure
of this room,
yeah,
you can feel better. You can rationalize it.
In many hotels known as the club level.
Yes, rationalize it by going having a watered-down vodka that you think you're getting for free.
Exactly. Right. Did they give you a little breakfast up there, too, in the morning?
There was always something available.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Always something available.
That's good. They were on the same floor, though, right?
Yeah. No, and what I'm saying
is... on the club level, so they've got good rooms, too.
So we... Right. And I'm thinking this is great, because I see this, and I see the key. Now, keep in mind, it's Amy and Josh and the three grandkids,
right,
and everything else that comes with. I mean, talking about the stroller, the double stroller.
Right.
We're talking about
the first thing I was going to ask you. She was able to get down there then. She came through her little procedure and was able to come down.
Yeah, you know, she had something done temporarily.
Right.
The doctor said you really should have it done right now. She's going to have the major surgery this coming week.
Okay.
But she had enough done on her back to relieve the pressure.
Good.
That she could get down to Orlando, which you really wanted to go on this vacation.
And enjoy yourself.
And I was thrilled to have him down there, and I said, so we get the ticket to the room, the key, and I said, ooh, look at this, 7th floor. I said, you know what that means? I started building this up to the kids. I said, you know what this means? They got a room where you can go anytime, get yourself chocolate milk. Mom says you can get a Diet Coke, you can go in there. I said, hey, Daddy, you can go in there and get yourself a booze. Mom, you can get a drink. I'm happy. And we get off the elevator, and we're looking, we're saying, 6428. 6428. And they open the key, and the room opens up.
I think I know it's coming.
Yeah, and I realize,
immediately. Now, it's a big room. It's a really big room that they have.
You thought you had it all to yourself. More than one entrance?
Yeah.
The king of solitude thought that he had his hermit suite. plenty of room for the whole family, I would imagine. And the way you described that.
Now, at this point, what happens is they walk through the door, the hotel room door, and there's five of them, but it's a very big room, and they've got plenty of beds for the little kids and the big kids. And I'm saying to them, oh, now look, this is nice. I said, you got a nice view outside. So look, you got the mini bar here. We got the Nintendo built in. This will be great. I'm just right down the hall. And the next thing you know, Ethan, my grandson, has opened the in-between room door, and he says, I hear from the other room, hey, what's in here? And I said, hey, Ethan, don't go in there. That's not our room. And as soon as I walked, I went like, oh, S. I mean, myself, I went, oh, S. Oh, S-H-I. I said, oh, this is Grandpa's room. This is Grandpa's room.
This is togetherness.
This is Grandpa's room. This must be something the travel agent did because she thought this would be...
Adjoining rooms.
She thought this would be nice.
No Disney hookers for you.
As it turns out, Buzz, there was so much freaking togetherness. My grandkids are great.
Yes.
They really, truly are. I love them with my whole heart. They are fantastic. I got the full grandpa treatment, and because there was no such thing as privacy. I mean, really,
you take that door? Well, I guess you can't, because they'd probably react if you bolt-locked it.
Yeah, well, now, and
from the other side. Those doors are designed for that, right?
Understand when Ethan finds out that the room leads to this palace that I'm in, and Amy, my daughter, and Josh, her husband, come through the door.
They see him.
She says, oh, this is so nice. It's like, look, like we can have breakfast in here, and right away, now what am I going to say to her? Now listen, this door locks.
Right.
That's your room. I'm going to get these eight rooms, and so no.
If you had managed to lock it prior to them,
they would have known, because I'm in the room right next door.
They probably would have eventually known.
They would have figured it out. And I would have felt like a schmuck anyway. I mean, I couldn't lock them up.
Of course, it might be their side that locks it.
No, both sides lock.
Yeah. So kind of like one of those two-bedroom deals.
Both sides lock because they run the option of...
Yeah, that's right. They have two doors.
If they want to sell it as a suite that has an adjoining bedroom, or they can just sell that bedroom separately.
Right. You pictured yourself just walking around that room naked for a week.
So, I mean, and right away, all the things that I had loved, were all of a sudden, all the things that I had great trepidation about, like... When I hear, Grandpa, you got a refrigerator. Oh, and I mean, in the suite, it was not like one of those little mini bar refrigerators.
Right.
There was a real kitchen.
Yeah.
It was a real refrigerator. And immediately, little hands start, because it's stocked with, it's stocked with like a jar of peanuts that cost $25. And the little hands are just going out and going through everything, and I'm just standing there going, oh, Jesus, I've lost control of the situation.
And your grandpa, so you can't wig out.
I cannot. And they had been in the room less than 30 minutes, had a long day of traveling. And Amy said, you know what we should do before we figure out tonight? We're going to go to the amusement park or whatever. We need to get cleaned up and take a bath. And Addie, my granddaughter, said, I want to take the bath and grandpa's bathed up.
Sure.
Just keep in mind, in my bathroom, it was, I mean, really big enough. A Buzz would love it. Big enough for four people.
Right.
I'm not exaggerating. A jacuzzi tub that was freaking...
Buzz and three of his closest friends.
Only four?
Freaking out of chocolate.
Freaking gigantic.
Wow.
So from the very first moment we were there, it was nothing but togetherness. Cute little half-naked grandkids running around.
Having a blast.
Yeah, I got into a ritual with them, one that I'm really, really glad is over now, because they're very early risers, these kids are.
Like earlier than you?
Yeah, earlier than me. And keep in mind, they're from Minneapolis, and they're an hour ahead of
us. Different time zone, sure.
The second, I think it back, they got there on a Monday, on Tuesday, so it's Tuesday morning, they had all day traveling Monday. We got him cleaned up. We got him dinner. We threw him in the pool for a while. Anything you can do just to
tire them out and run them into the ground. Got them in bed, put some movie on, thought, okay, great, they're going to sleep. I talked to Amy and Josh for a while, and I said, you know, look at me, I've been up since 5 a.m., and it's, you know, it's 11 o'clock, I will see you cats in the morning. I said, have a good time, knock yourselves out, and I went to my bedroom and just shut my bedroom door.
Yeah.
5:05 a.m. This is what I feel. I can't, there's no way to articulate this.
Tugging on your beard?
Tugging on my beard.
Was it the maid?
It's Carly. No, Carly.
Oh.
Carly, who was 2 years old. Carly, who's 2 years old.
Well, it's that Christmas morning kind of excitement there at the theme park.
But no, Mike, this was every day.
Well, they're still excited, right?
Every day. No, they didn't want to go to the theme park.
They didn't.
They didn't want to go and get...
They wanted to pull on Grandpa's beard.
They wanted to watch SpongeBob on goddamn TV.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So, on your TV.
Oh, no, on the TV in the other room.
Okay.
So what would happen was that Carly would come in and like, Grandpa, beard.
Know, I'm realizing now you are a grandparent. What they're doing is because your daughter and her husband are you know... Go see Grandpa.
I know what's happened.
I mean, I did that with my kids to my mom. Now I realize, man, what a horrible thing to do.
Go see
Grandma. Go see Grandpa. That's your job. You're the one that's going to be awakened at 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning.
Correct. I mean, I don't think that my daughter and my son-in-law knowingly sent the kids in. I mean, when I walked back there and looked around,
you bet your ass they did.
When I went back there and I said, "Let's see what Mommy and Daddy are doing."
Mommy and Daddy saw in wood.
Mommy and Daddy were like, "Yeah, that's
the
right.
First time in months." Yeah.
So, this was an everyday thing, where they would wake me up, and then, as long as I was up, we would go get some breakfast and get some coffee, and the thing that Frida had to be looking down from heaven and just laughing about, if you know anything about me, you know this, I hate nature.
You're an indoor
guy. I know that doesn't sound right, but it's the truth. I just, you know, like, a nature walk, please. Right. Eat me. Animals, please.
Overrated.
You know, I like dogs. I like cats.
You could do an occasional trip to the zoo.
Yeah, that's
if the animals are confined.
That's like pulling teeth. I took them to the zoo the last time they were here, for God's sakes. So anyway, at this place we're staying at in Orlando, right on the Universal place, right by the amusement park, they have a bunch of ducks. And what happens is that the kids have seen the ducks, and... Because I am an idiot. I'm an idiot that drives in the fog. I'm an idiot that goes the wrong way on the road. One night, I said to them, because they were having wine, I was having vodka, he may have been having some Jägermeister. I mean, we were very...
Jäger, wow.
Well, Mike, that's why we didn't go to Disneyland. Or Disney World.
Whatever. Yeah.
The good thing about Universal is, and I'll give them a free plug. Because
you go and plug away. I love that place. Yep. And my kids do, too.
What I love about it is that they think about the parents.
They do.
That every 2 or 3 feet, there is a balls-out bar. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not talking about a stand where you can buy a beer. I'm talking about somewhere where you can go in and say,
sure,
3 fingers of bourbon.
Yep.
Right now. Put it in a plastic cup, or I swear to God, I am going to shove this kid down a garbage disposal. You're out.
Hold on, where was I? You're talking about the nature. You're talking about nature and the ducks.
Thank you. Every day, they would see the ducks, the first days that we were there. And one night at dinner, when we're all just a little goofy and happy and drinking, I said, it would be a good idea. All this bread on the table, if we bring all this bread back to the room, and we get the bread from when Mommy got room service today for you guys, tomorrow morning when you wake Grandpa up, we go out and feed the doggies. Uh-huh. Duckies are like that. And they're like, okay, Grandpa. And
seems like a great idea then.
Sure did. Until the next morning, 5:15. This time, it's not the pulling of the beard. It's pulling of my ear. To get the little mouth right by my ear. Grandpa! Grandpa! Back, back. Want to feed the ducks. They had gone in the kitchen, got the bread.
They're ready to go.
So I had to tell them it's too early now. It's only 5:05. Meanwhile, I'm looking
at... Just cannot see in the dark.
where you children live, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. What kind of life does your mother have you leading is what I'm wanting to say to them. But
right.
Instead what I do is, and I did this 3 mornings in a row, we would go down to the little club room, get our breakfast together, come back, we'd watch freaking SpongeBob, who incidentally is a prick.
You like Squidward better?
I mean the guy who's in the SpongeBob suit at Nickelodeon.
Oh, not really accommodating.
Oh, listen, I mean, we got to wait in line for 45 freaking minutes for this turd in a SpongeBob suit.
Very popular.
And then I brought some of these pictures in. Maybe we can put them on our website. Because this is later in the trip when we're still at Orlando having a great time. We've been waiting for 45 minutes. SpongeBob is going to come out and get his picture taken. And it's not like when they got the people in the suits running around. I mean,
right.
For this prick, you really got to stand in line.
Yeah, that's the way the characters are there.
And you've got to pay like $23.
And they bring them out like they're celebrities, too.
But SpongeBob, they did even differently, that you could not use your own camera.
Really?
You had to go to this area, which was a fake TV studio, where SpongeBob would come out, and for only 45 minutes, he would take pictures. So
did you have any adults waiting to see SpongeBob? Because that pissed me off when I used to, my kids were little, when you'd wait for a character.
I ran into one of those guys in Dr. Seuss Land.
God almighty.
This is why SpongeBob is a prick. I'm standing there. Well, hold on. Let me just finish about the ducks. Frida would have
laughed. Why? When that was the duck, was it difficult? Was the duck thing difficult?
Yes, because it's not like there was a spot where all of the ducks congregated every day. What we would have to do is end up walking around
hunting the
pool area.
Duck hunting.
Go by where they had like a little fake beach area. And the whole time, walking around going, quack, quack, quack. Quack, quack, quack. And they'd be like setting up the bar, setting up the pool. And you know, I would say to the people working there, hey, hi, have you seen the ducks? Not this morning, but they'll be out any moment.
Sleepily stumbling along with your grandchildren.
So
head in hand.
We finally found the ducks. The first day we found the ducks. And
one of them
bit Addie.
Yeah.
And I had to tell Addie that they don't have teeth. There was nothing to worry about. But sure. Of course she got into that hysterical. So I've got her under one arm. Really, I'm holding her like a bag of groceries under one arm. And I've got Ethan by the other hand. I'm just like an idiot going through this lobby going, don't worry, Mommy will be okay. Mommy won't worry about it. But the duck bit me! Grandpa, the duck bit me!
Release the bread before it's in the duck's mouth.
Jesus. So anyway, for 3 mornings in a row.
How long were you there?
5 days.
5 days.
And for 3 mornings in a row, I actually went out each morning for over an hour to feed the ducks with my grandchildren.
You are a good grandpa.
No, I'm not. I'm really not, because a good grandpa wouldn't come on the air and say, go, what a pain in the ass.
A good one wouldn't have gone in the first place.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. And I just thought, you know, poor Frida must be looking down thinking, you know, all the things that I would never do with her, mm-hmm. I'm doing now. Like, taking the dog for a walk. Well, the dog's got to go for a walk now.
Right.
So I got to take the dog for a goddamn walk. Nature.
Nature.
Ducks.
Nature.
Ducks. Ducks. Freaking ducks. And every time, I would say
ducks
something.
Belong in a Chinese restaurant.
Every day it was the same thing with these beautiful children. I said, did we have a good time today? Yes, we did. Tomorrow we're going to go back to Dr. Seuss Land. Those guys want to go to the Fantastic Four. Yeah, but Grandpa, are we going to feed the ducks?
See, that's the, what ages are they?
5, 4, and 2.
See, they're the young ones. They're at that age. That the ducks will lap any amusement park of ducks. So, yeah, the feeding the ducks, that's a big deal.
So, SpongeBob, let me just get to SpongeBob for a second, then we'll hit a break here. So we got to wait in line, and it's this thing where it's muggy, and it's hot, and it's rainy on this particular day in Central Florida, and all the kids have really wanted is to see SpongeBob. So we finally find out, and as I mentioned, it's a 45-minute wait. I've got a sign that says, 45-minute wait from this spot.
A 45-minute wait to get to the pineapple under the sea.
to be able to spend $23 for a picture.
Yes.
So, as you can imagine, we got 3 little ones, and it's about 1,000 degrees.
It's a tough age for amusement park.
And we're standing in one of those Disney-like lines where you move like 1 foot a second, and You're just snaking back and forth, and everybody smells like ass. Everything smells like just a full diaper. I mean, it was that smell everywhere. Yeah, like the smell of some milk or dairy product that's gone bad. And we're just waiting and waiting. And right as we got three people away from almighty SpongeBob, who only had 7 minutes left, Carly, the littlest one, she all of a sudden flips out. She says, I want my picture thing. I mean, it's hard to make out her sentences because she's two.
Right.
But she's shaking her head and she's saying
she's scared.
She doesn't want to go see SpongeBob. So meanwhile, the whole time, they're moving us along like, come on, come on. And I have the audacity. I'm standing up there with two of my grandkids and SpongeBob. And there's my daughter and my son-in-law and the little one that doesn't want a picture taken.
Right.
And I said, oh, come on, guys. Come on up here. Come up here with Grandpa. And I hear from inside the suit, I hear,
can we just take the picture?
And I stop and I said, hey, is that you, SpongeBob? Just like that. And the guy from inside, and I've got a picture of him in the suit, says,
can we just take the picture, please?
I said, gee, I'm sorry, are we pissing you off, SpongeBob? And at that point, whoever SpongeBob's matron is,
handler,
his publicist, the girl in the Swiss Miss suit for some reason,
they treat them like they are celebrities.
She comes over and she says, no talking to SpongeBob. I said, SpongeBob talked to me. And then SpongeBob says,
take a picture, move the line along.
I'm looking at Amy and Josh, I'm like, and Carly's going, I don't want this. So, here you go, here now. We'll put this on the web. Here's me with Ethan and with Addie. They're the two oldest.
Man.
Addie.
SpongeBob doesn't look irritated.
That is your best fake smile.
Now.
That is your best fake smile.
We'll put these up on the web for you. Now,
They're
adorable kids.
Here's the follow. As I'm standing in line to pay for this now, all of a sudden Carly says,
Dick Clark, so long.
Carly, the two-year-old, says, SpongeBob.
She wants
the picture. Yeah. Now, the line, friends, is already closed. I am only 10 yards away from the incredible SpongeBob. Or whatever lesser form of human life it is that's stuffed into this suit. And Amy was standing there, and Carly really wanted a picture taken.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was, I walked back over to SpongeBob, and the matron said to me, no talking to SpongeBob. I said, no, we're friends. Give me 1 second.
We're friends.
So I was standing there just waiting for a second. And I really walked over to whoever this Claude was, And because I didn't know where to speak to him,
right.
I talked into the ear hole of the big SpongeBob. And this is a gigantic guy in a suit with real legs and everything. It's a man in this
foam rubber. Right.
Yeah. And I said, hey, dude, my granddaughter is really, really crying. She wants the picture taken now. He says, now, because there are other people waiting in line.
Does he remember your previous conversations?
He does. He says to me, swear on Frida's grave, says to me.
Oh, no problem. $20.
I said,
I want you to light him up.
I said, $20 to you? He said, give it to my wife. And then he says,
oh my God, the wife is the handler?
He says, honey, hey, honey. I think he's saying honey, but her name is Henny, like Henny Penny.
Oh.
And she comes over, and he says, all right, we'll get this guy's granddaughter up here. You take care of business, sir. Thank you. So now I'm reaching.
You lit up SpongeBob.
I go, do we just do this in front of everybody?
Everyone can be bribed.
She says, sure. So I reach in my wallet. I pull out a 20. And now here's where it gets nutty. I say, so now I'm like Mr. Big Shot with Amy, right? They're over in line. I say, hey, come on.
Is anybody else in the line pissed at you?
No, because everybody's still...
They're not. It's too much going on?
It's chaotic because he's almost ending his shift. And we just had our pictures taken. And they had just moved us away from this area. We were the last family to have pictures taken.
Oh,
magical area.
So now they say,
Okay, we're going to bring... I go to Amy. Come on. Who's the world's best dad? Come here. Grandpa did it. Time for the picture. And we all got around, and I hear from inside.
You already got your picture taken with me, sir.
And I said, Bob. Because we were standing there.
Because you clutched that
one. We were standing there. My grandkids, my daughter, were standing there. Bob, he said,
I'm going to take the picture with the child that was screaming.
With the child that was screaming.
Uh-huh.
I said, you got it. So what I said to Ethan and Addie was, I said, come on over with Grandpa. I said, hey, Bob. And I said it real loud. I said, does that 20 that I gave you cover my daughter? And he just nodded yes.
He nods. Then he goes nonverbal.
The second photo would be the one that I slipped $20 for. I wanted an entire family shot.
Right.
That would be my daughter, Amy, my son-in-law, Josh, and Carly, who didn't want to get her picture taken. You see, they just wouldn't let us all get it taken together. And they said that the line is 45 minutes long and he's done for the day. And then I gave his wife $20.
You know, you could really just have the foam rubber. You know, I mean, if you just built like, you could have a stand-up, but he's got to be animatronic.
I know. Well, can you put those on the web, Rob? All right. There you go. I'd like those back, please. So, we were walking out of there, and I said, just to Amy, as we were walking out, I said, you realize I bribed SpongeBob.
SpongeBob attitude pants.
I said, and that P-R-I-C-K, try not to say the bad words around the kids.
Right.
Yeah. I said, that P-R-I-C-K wouldn't even let us get all of our pictures taken.
You wanted the whole family shot with SpongeBob.
Yeah. I said, I paid $20 for that. I'd like to go back and kick his ass.
Yeah.
I really would.
Just bounce right off.
That was stupid SpongeBob.
Right hands to the face of SpongeBob.
How about inside?
He's got all that padding.
I mean, inside that suit, he's working people for extra money.
Yeah.
Because I say, hey,
was he outside or inside? Was it an indoor air conditioning enclosure that he was in?
He was at the back of the Jimmy Neutron ride, right by the SpongeBob store, where they have a little fake SpongeBob TV set.
Right.
That if you want to spend $200, and I'm not that great at Grandpa, SpongeBob will actually stand there and wave on video with your kids, so it appears that you're on TV with him.
He's the hot property.
Anyway, as we were walking, I just said to Amy, I said, I can't believe that. I had to light up freaking SpongeBob. What a P-R-I-C-K. Wouldn't even let us get all of our pictures taken together.
He's so porous.
Absorbent.
Absorbent and porous is he.
SpongeBob. Oh, but the kids loved him. And there was a lot of time. The problem with having littler kids is that all of the attractions that I would be drawn to, say your Captain America, your Dr. Doom, your Hulk, your Spider-Man.
Too much for them.
Well, they're not big enough for these rides.
Right. Did you and your daughter and her husband get any time to do any of the grown-up rides at all?
As it turns out,
didn't go on the Revenge of the Mummy?
Nope. Didn't do it, Mike. Didn't do it because we had the little ones.
It really is a wonderful experience when your kids do get big enough to go on the real rides. Might have just hit that because they're both pocket rockets, but that's the thing when you have little kids, you got to do what they want to do.
The last thing I got to get off when we go to a break is something you mentioned. It's funny you mentioned it, that on the last day we were there, and we were all by this time, you know how it is, just dragging ass.
A lot of time to be in an amusement.
It was like, okay, what else do your kids want to do? And I said, we want to go back, Dr. Seuss. F Dr. Seuss.
Mm-hmm.
God damn, Cat in the Hat, Hop on Pop. How about Dr. Seuss sucks my D? Okay.
Back to Dr. Seuss.
So we all go back to Dr. Seuss land, and we got to go on the Cat in the Hat ride, and then we got to go on the little roller coaster that's not really a roller coaster, and then the last thing they want to do is go on.
Is that the Dudley Do-Right roller coaster?
Might be, Mike.
Yes.
Might be.
Kind of goes through a log flume.
Yep.
Yeah.
Last thing that they want
to
do.
That smells good, doesn't it?
It has that diaper smell.
Yeah.
Last thing that they want to do is go on this carousel, which is in Dr. Seuss Land.
Right.
And we've built this up as this is the last thing we're going to do on the last night. So pick the one last thing you want to do. And as this thing was going around, not a lot of people were on it. Addie, my granddaughter, 5, said, oh, I want to go on that pink horsey. Look at that pink horsey. He looks so funny.
Mm-hmm.
So we waited our turns, and we walked over, and some guy who had to weigh over 200,
mm-hmm.
okay, but under 300, like fat,
right,
but not obese. I mean, but
big, he got his big fat ass on the pink horse. And at first I said to Addie, I said, oh, honey, look, if there's another man, I'm sorry, but I'm sure he and his children are going to be on this. We'll find another one. And she said, okay, Grandpa, no problem. So I said, Amy, we're going to go over this way just a second. And we go over, we get on some other one. And she says, hey, Grandpa, where's that man's children? And I said, sweetie, what are you talking about? She said, can I please ride that pink horse?
No, call Dateline.
So what I had to do was,
You're riding the roller coaster again.
You've never ridden the pink horse?
I did was she had that incredible safety device, which is, you've never been down there. It's a leather belt.
The strap. Yeah. They strap when you get onto the, just in case it begins to rotate at, 400 miles per hour.
It's just a leather belt, like you would use to beat a kid's ass.
So it's not to bring the kid into the vortex.
Right. So I say to her, all right, now, sweetie, because we're all the way on the other side of the carousel. The rest of the family's on this side. Stay right here. Grandpa's going to take care of this. I'm a can-do guy. It's our last night there. So I walk over. The thing's not moving. I say to the guy, I say, hi, excuse me, friend. I said, maybe you see back there four horses back? That is my granddaughter. She's precious. This is our last night here. She would love to ride that horse. I noticed you didn't have any kids. Would you mind? And the guy said to me, yes, I would. And I said,
it's a dude that's on the carousel by himself.
I said, you're kidding me. And he said, no, I enjoy the carousel. I enjoy this ride. I'm probably going to stay on this horse for three or four more times. The ride's open till 8 o'clock. And like I said, he didn't look like a pedophile. He was not like a guy who couldn't wipe himself. I said, so what, you're just really attached to this particular horse? And then he said, I'm trying to ride every horse on the carousel.
The goal.
And I said, okay, gotcha.
That's when I would imagine that the tension of the week, perhaps knocking on his ass.
Nothing happened.
Good.
I said,
wow.
I said, enjoy yourself.
Found at least why he was on the carousel.
I walked back and I said to Addie something. She said, can we have? I said, no.
Every horse.
I said, no, that fat man wants to ride that horse by himself.
Right.
She's like, why does he want to ride the horse? So then what I did at the very end was, when the ride was over, as everybody was getting off the ride, I said to Addie, hey, Addie, do you want... And boy, my great-grandpa was. I said, hey, Addie, do you want to watch the fat guy just stay on the horse? I bet he's not going to move. And she said, yeah. So it's like all the different little kids are being brought on and everything, and this guy is just sitting there. And at one point, he pulls out a BlackBerry.
Of course.
He pulls out, he is sitting on the pink horse.
Didn't appear to be with anyone, huh?
And Dr. Seuss, no.
How he gets his jollies.
Amy came by, and she said...
That's not normal, incidentally.
This happened quite a bit. She said, oh, we're so worried. Where were you guys at? And, Addie, kids came by, says, Grandpa and I are laughing at that fat man. He's, and as soon as she said, laughing at that fat man,
right.
I get the look from Amy. And I'm looking at her like, he's fat.
He wouldn't get off the horse. She's a pink horse.
She said, oh, don't talk. Just don't talk like that around her. We try not to. I said, all right, you're right. And then as we're walking away, I said to Amy, I said, oh, but I guess it's okay. Like earlier today, when you were having a really great time, making fun of those Orientals with a heavy Southern accent. Which incidentally is the single funniest thing that I've ever seen or heard in my life. My daughter and one.
No disrespect, no.
We were in one of those all-you-can-eat, like, pig troughs.
Were they from South Korea?
Rob, who knows? All I know is that.
I get that.
I get jokes. South Korea. She goes to John with a little one, and she goes back, and she says...
Birmingham, South Korea.
And I love it when my daughter calls me Daddy, even though she's grown up. She goes over, right. She just says, Daddy, I want you to walk with me. Now, I want you to promise you're not going to say anything, and think I got something you're going to think is pretty funny. So, all right, cool. So she drops the kid off, we go around the corner, and she said, you see those people, those Asian people?
Right.
I said, yeah, she said... Holy cats. Go listen to them talk. So I walked around the corner. And they look, they don't look like William Hung. But
right.
they're absolutely, as Asian as you can be.
Right.
But I swear to God,
He talked like this. It was a thick Southern. It didn't even have a trace of that fake, hello, how are you? King right. Kong and Godzilla are coming to the store. It was... So when we get done here, if we go to the Jurassic Park flight, now, what time does the Marvel Superheroes area close? I mean, really, I stood there, my jaw dropped.
That was your amusement park.
My jaw dropped.
You were amused by that.
Never seen it before. And I said to Amy, and this gave her a weird look, I said, this is almost as funny as like when I see a black guy with a British accent.
And she didn't track with that
she
one?
Just, she said... Well, what's funny about that?
Right, step away from the Asian people. Grandpa, step away from the Asians.
What's funny with that?
Wow.
Nothing's funny with that. Okay. So that's
a little fun.
Let me see. I think I got... Okay, so now we're down in Orlando because they left at the... Oh, we got to hit a break here.
Sounds like you had a pretty good time overall.
We had a great time. I would rate it a 10.
Good.
Wonderful to have them around. Even though I'm bitching, wonderful to be a grandpa.
Sure.
I love having those kids around. I love having my daughter around. Got them in the van to go to the airport at 3. Thought, you know what? I might just be a man and bang out this whole goddamn drive. Orlando to D.C. Lickety-split, no problem. Got about 4 hours and stopped at some butt-scratch nowhere motel where later that evening, this is always good when you're on the road and you're at a hotel off Interstate 95 or any other major road.
Right, the Bates Motel.
And it's very late, let's say after 2 a.m.
All right.
And you hear what appears to be people throttling each other in the next room. And I don't mean sexually throttling, I mean
really? Getting into a fight?
Yeah, guys are beating the crap out of each other.
And not in a fun way? Not in the roughhousing way?
I could hear it. I could hear. It was... Oh. Guys who were drunk. I mean, I heard like MF-er. I heard like,
wow.
Like F you, F me, F you. Then I heard like pow, pow. And then, so it's like, I'm sitting there going,
sleep well.
I can't believe this. The sign said new rooms.
Right.
Really, the sign. That's why I stopped.
Sign said no fight.
The goddamn sign said new rooms. So I called the front desk.
At least the rooms weren't adjoining.
I called the front desk.
Might we fight in here?
You know, and again, welcome to South Carolina. It's like 2 a.m. I call the front desk and I say, hey, this is 216. I think the guys in 214 next to me are fighting. All right. You have a good night now.
Yeah. Try not to bother them.
We don't have no security right here. Now, did I mention we was Asian?
See you later. So got that done. Then came back and then we got the second half, which is the creepy part, the creepy uneasy part.
Well, Orlando sounded good though. So far so good.
Oh no, that everything on the vacation was good except for the last thing.
Good.
The very last thing.
Okay.
Yeah, let me see. How can I tease you with that? Mike, it's always good when I have a visual aid. Mm-hmm. And you get that incidentally by having sex in your eyes.
That's right.
So watch it.
Be careful.
Always wear glasses.
Right there.
Yeah. Or goggles.
See that? That appeared to be
a newspaper.
That appeared to be a picture of a pedestrian who's being loaded into an ambulance.
A stretcher.
Yeah. I got news for you. It's not me.
You're not being loaded in?
I'm not being loaded in, no.
Thank God. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Jesus.
Are you with me?
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Not my fault, brother.
Okay, let's say no more.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
Told you I had a lot of good vacations stuff to tell you about.
Oh, dear.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I read the caption very briefly there, and it says the pedestrian ran into the
Shut up! Say something, please.
God, man.
I know. Not... You know, like I said, not the best vacation. It was a weird up and down type vacation that I had.
You'll be acquitted.
Everything worked out because
that does fall into the category of creepy.
Because Mike, remember my birthday.
So happy birthday! Great.
Thank you, Mike. Let's do this, and we'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you got money?
more jazz superstars on the way, folks. Cooey Martin, Willie Mims, Drop Jaws Turner, Sketch Friendly, Tootsie Childs, Sammy Biltmore, No Talent Jones, Anwar Benitez, Bossy Marmalade, Bad Check Mazursky, Ray Ray Takamura, Shaky Premise, Bootsy Crouton, Richard Sakai, The Premarital Sextet, CSI Miami, D.W. Jitters, The Chubb Group, Cantaloupe St. Pierre, and many, many more funny names.
The Don and Mike Show.
No duh.
Thank you for mentioning that, dude.
I'm about to say something relatively funny first.
A division of Line One Industries International. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, just say something funny.
Retarded Human Shield. Yeah. Don Geronimo and Michael Miller.
That's what we needed.
That's what we got. Now, let me see. Jerry Lewis had his Labor Day telethon.
Oh, here we go again.
No. I want to stop this right now and nip this in the bud if I could.
You're canceling it?
No.
Get my telethon?
No, hold on. I have unfairly gotten a bad rap for never getting to the Jerry tapes, saying that we've got them, and then we never get to them.
You did good last year.
Last year, we got to them.
Like, you finished them in 2 days. However, the day before, the year before, it was Christmas.
Before we played them.
Yeah.
This
was
year,
it really?
Yeah.
This year, they're good. The Jerry Lewis telethon tapes.
How's his health?
Jerry seems better.
Not great. Ed's the star.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Ed McMahon is the star.
That, say no more.
We will start that at some point.
Don't discount the magic of Larry.
On today's show. Oh, that's right.
Larry gets the medal this year.
Hi.
There is a Larry King moment. You know, if we start talking about it.
Yeah, we should press on.
Yeah, let's wait. It was the best moment of the entire telethon. Also, fantasy football, let's not even talk about that now. We'll wait till tomorrow. But once again, spotlight on Mike O'Meara.
I'm on a roll, aren't I?
Very nice. In the first week of the season, Mike lost 90-something to nothing because he did not turn a lineup in.
Right. Oh, wow. I was in Vegas, baby.
You got help this year. I thought a guy was there. Travis was your general
manager.
Yeah,
but Travis doesn't have... I didn't get Travis my password.
But
at least that's the way I understand it. And Travis couldn't get into the system.
So we will have the rundown for you tomorrow.
He probably could have gotten into the system with help from the commissioner.
And I'm pretty sure that the commissioner will have all of these stuff...
Who did I play in that first week?
You played Bart.
I played Bart?
You played Bart first
week. Well, he got the... And then I lost to you yesterday, right? I believe I've lost to you.
I know you have Willie Parker going tonight for Pittsburgh.
Okay, all right. I didn't know that.
On the air. And you are 10 points behind.
I put that lineup in myself, though, so I did enjoy the games a lot more.
Perhaps the commissioner has his own problems.
Oh, is the commissioner having a losing season so far?
He's 0-2 already.
Some reason, John Norman, I thought I played you in that first week. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
All right, we'll cover all of that tomorrow, and Yanni will get that up on our website so you can see who's got what. Because we've got the listener that's playing with us. We have quite a few entries in our TV commercial contest at YouTube now.
Oh, good.
There's at least 10 of them, and I saw this morning 3 that I thought were really... really good.
Oh, good. I'll have to check them out. I didn't know we got some over the vacation.
You're jam-packed today, but we'll hopefully discuss that in the next couple of days. Oh, also, I wanted to mention, Mike, we were talking about you forgetting my birthday. No, I'm going to give you a bit of a pass on this.
Well, okay.
Just a little bit.
You don't need to.
Well, let me just see. 1-4-1.
I've got the Irish guilt going. Overtime.
You're very hard on yourself.
I am.
Buzz said hard on.
No, I'm going to go home tonight and look at myself in the mirror and hit myself. No, don't do that.
No.
Gloveless boxing, solo style. No rules. No rules, just right.
Just right. I am trying to get my wonderful mother-in-law on the phone.
Oh, Big Frida.
Because I had a that'd
be great.
An awkward moment with her about her birthday.
Do. Wonderful.
What was that?
That's Big Frida burping.
Wow.
When we had her in our celebrity burp contest.
Remember that.
Hi, this is Don's mother-in-law, Big Frida. You have just won the celebrity burp contest.
There she is. Well, she did.
Hello.
Hey, hi, it's me. You're on the radio, Mom.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Hi, Big Frida.
Hi, Big Frida.
Doing
weird. Let me go in the other room away from the radio.
Ah, she's listening every day, isn't she?
Isn't that great?
Good, loyal mom, isn't she?
Yeah.
And enjoying every minute of the show.
Okay, well, listen, you got to... Hey, Mom, can you turn that thing down a little more?
Yeah, uh-huh. How's that?
There
you go. So, as you may have heard, Mike forgot my birthday.
Oh.
And I like busting his balls about that. But the truth is that when we were at... up in Ocean City. As I mentioned, my girlfriend, Janet, she had to work during my vacation, and I didn't get to spend very much time with her. We spent a couple of days in Ocean City, and we spent some time with Big Frida. Good. This is why Big Frida is the greatest. I mean, she likes Janet, my girlfriend, and my girlfriend likes Big Frida a lot, and we all get together, and it's not a problem to talk about Frida and to talk about the life that we had, and anyway, I think you would agree, Janet's a sweetheart, don't you think so?
I think so. I think she's, maybe some people wouldn't be as dear as she is when we speak so much of Frida, and it's sort of almost like would put her in a lesser position, and not that Janet's trying to prove anything, but I mean, I think she's very gracious.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
She's wonderful. She's very
fond. What a nice compliment that is.
She's fond of you as well, and it's very nice that I could have everybody together. And anyway, Big Frida came over. We saw her a couple of times over the weekend, but she came over to give me an early birthday present.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, it's the shirt I'm wearing today.
Oh, that's very nice.
Nice Packers polo shirt.
So you look pretty, huh?
Yeah, look great. Does. So, anyway, we're sitting there, and the three of us are just talking, Janet and Big Frida and I. And Big Frida says, oh, yes, when I went out for dinner with everybody for my birthday last week, and she let it go by just like that, and I stopped her for a second, and I said, whoa. Your birthday is September 24th. And she said, my birthday was last week, Kimosabe.
Oh, boy.
Wow. So, see, Mike, it's not that I totally forgot. I did have the day right. Even Janet told her that I had the gift is on the counter at home. I just thought I had another week.
Yeah I thought yours was December 12th.
See, I don't want to bust your balls endlessly.
No,
on this.
I mean, and I.
It happened to me, and I was embarrassed.
But I mean, in a way, I have given you the gift of that, and that's part of the deal.
And I don't know how many times I said to Big Frida, you know, I am sorry. I am
sorry.
And of course, you know, she gives me the nice Packers shirt that I want, of course, and it's the homemade card that has all the mushy stuff inside, like, you know, I love you, I'll always be your mom, and, you know, meanwhile, I'm looking at you going, you know, well, I got you something real nice. It's on the counter at home. So, I mean, it happens.
It happens occasionally.
Sure. It happens.
Well,
I guess the difference would be, Mike, that I don't work with Big Frida every day.
Yeah.
You know, I only see her every couple of months. Chat with her on the phone.
Thank you.
But, Mike, I read in the book one time was Virgin Mary's birthday, or Saint's Day was September the 8th.
Yeah.
Also, so we two girls got missed.
Oh, that's right. Yes, absolutely. Well, I love that story because it takes away some of the Irish guilt that I'm feeling.
Well, happy belated birthday.
Well, thank you very much, and it was good seeing you. And I wanted to tell you in this morning's paper they had something about the horoscope and the signs and which sign has the most accidents.
Oh, hold on. I'm gonna lead into that in a moment. It wasn't my fault, incidentally. I know I say that all the time.
Well, that's fine. They're called accidents.
I'm swearing. This is a big one.
I really want to get to this.
Mike, this is a big one.
You freaked me out with that tease. That tease. You teased all of us here.
Is this not a big one? I mean, emotionally? When I went to see you after this happened, I was...
shaken.
Just about to fall apart.
Wow.
It was a good thing that my mother-in-law lives in Ocean City.
Mm-hmm.
It really was, because it was before Janet got there.
You're killing me now, because I got to hear about this. I got to find out what's going on.
All right,
just the one thing is that people who are Virgos have the most And I've never had one. Huh. So you're having mine.
I'm sure I make it up for you.
Wow.
And Janet's a
well,
we found that out as well.
Huh. Yeah, hi, Buzz.
Hi,
Big
Frida.
Hi
there,
hello.
Big Frida. How are you doing?
And
I will say, I didn't know, I have not given you gifts over the life of your birthday, and I forgot Don's, but I will say happy birthday to you,
yeah.
since he brought it up.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't keep track of them all.
That's right.
I always say that.
Yeah.
He does.
It's so hard. I say that, Big Frida, all the time. It's so hard being so thoughtful.
All right, Mom, I love you. I'll see you later.
I love you too, baby. Right. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Big Frida.
Bye-bye.
See what happens to everybody, Mike. Oh, and before the stuff about the what happened, what else happened in Ocean City?
Yeah.
As I mentioned, my girlfriend Janet.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I mean, I'm not gonna, you know, jump out and get married or anything, and I'm not getting crazy.
Right.
She's great. She helped me out so much when Max passed away.
Right.
She was a big help when I was down in Orlando. Like, do you know that? For instance, she cleaned my garage out. She didn't just clean the garage, though. She, like, scrubbed the freaking floors
wow.
of the garage. Like, got rid of the oil stains and stuff
amazing.
In the garage.
That is sexy.
That turns you on, Ron.
Yeah, a woman yeah, that works that.
That turns you on.
But after having said all of that, I would just say the only two red flags I've gotten with this chick thus far.
Huh?
And she's great. As Big Frida said, she's, you know, especially wonderful in the environment that she sometimes
sure.
is cast into.
Got to be tough for her, I would imagine.
And everything. Well, first, she really likes the movie You've Got Mail, and I told her that that's a major problem.
Uh-huh.
I said that's a sign of stupidity.
That's fair.
That actually takes points off the IQ?
Well, I believe so, and...
I think it was Tom Hanks at his dreamiest.
She thought that I was kidding around, so I don't know what night it was, but we were just sitting around looking at TV, and she said, oh, stop on that one, I like that one. And it was Runaway Bride.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, if you come up with one more of these,
right?
Seriously, we're going to be friends. You know, we're going to have to do that thing. Let's.
Oh, come on now. She likes chick flicks. What's wrong with that?
But, Mike, there's a chick flick. And really, it's not so much Runaway Bride. It's You've Got Mail to me is everything that's wrong with movies. It's everything that's wrong with estrogen, with hormones, with vagina, with the reproductive tract that women have in them.
I watched Notting Hill over the vacation.
The faggot.
but not as bad.
I did all by myself.
But not as bad.
Like half of it. I didn't watch all of it. I came in the last half.
All right, anyway.
The good half.
With all the nudity.
So that's all I've got about everything that happened except for this. Now,
the big F scenes in Notting Hill.
The orgy.
So bear with me for 1 second. So I'm going to tell you a little tale.
God,
about
you're killing
something.
Me. I want to know what's going on.
Right now, I'm going to. Right now.
What is the picture you showed me is God, man. Damn it.
Stretcher.
Now, you're going to. Everybody is so used to hearing me say, I was in an accident and it wasn't my fault.
Mm-hmm.
This was not like me bumping my bumper into somebody. This was not my fault. And also, scared the crap out of me. I was involved in an accident that was less than 2 miles away from where Frida was killed.
Jesus.
In Ocean City.
Wow.
Saturday morning Wednesday morning, 10 o'clock.
This
past Wednesday morning. Janet wasn't down there yet. It was just Clink and I. Clink was at home. I was going to Home Depot. I was on Route 50. I was on Coastal Highway. I'm sorry. Coastal Highway, everybody knows that in Ocean City.
Mm-hmm.
Big, six-lane, super slab, speed limit, 40 miles an hour. I'm at 70th Street, which is right by, like, a slip and slide and the dough roller and a police station. I mean, 8,000 things are along this area. I am going southbound on Coastal Highway, going from my perspective where my car was, counting the cars going the other way, there are six, I am the sixth car. There are three lanes of cars, three cars on the other side of the road, three lanes.
Coming at you.
Coming at me. And on my side, there are three lanes going straight ahead. And I am the furthest to the right, I am in the right-hand lane.
Okay.
Light turns green. I'm in the SUV, not my little car. I hit the gas. I don't punch it. I'm right in front of a freaking police station.
Sure.
I'm in Ocean City. I mean, I've got the memory of freedom. I think about that whenever I drive, but especially in Ocean City.
Very careful.
Imagine my surprise when, and I mean, not surprised, but I mean, I literally crap my pants. A kid came out of nowhere on a bicycle.
Oh, God.
What he did was, from the other side of the highway, when the light turned green for six lanes of traffic to go, at that point, this idiot took off on his bicycle and tried to cross the street. It happened so quickly. Here's what I remember. I remember just putting my foot on the gas and seeing out of nowhere this kid come barreling at me, boom, into the front of my car, and I swear to Christ, he flipped up in the air and ended up 12 feet behind me.
Wow.
Now, I didn't know where he was coming from. I had just pulled away from a light. Mm-hmm. I was going 5 miles an hour.
Right.
It's like, what the frig is going on? I mean, really, this happened. And I thought, oh, my God. Oh, my God. What is this guy is dead. What is going on? I mean, I was, what the frig is going on?
Freaking out.
I mean, that's all I was just saying. What the F? What? And I started shaking, and I got all flipped out, and I got out of the car, and I go running back there. And he's laying on the ground, and he looks injured like Jack Bauer looks injured.
Oh.
It's almost like that fake, and I know it wasn't
so
fake.
So he's conscious?
Oh, guy's sitting up on his arm.
Okay.
He's on his back, and he's holding himself with his arms.
All right.
And I went running back there, and I said, I was hysterical. I went, dude, are you okay? Where the hell, are you okay? And all he said is, I have the green light. I said, you did not have a green light. I said, anybody, 911, anybody. So now they call 911.
Oh, my God.
So here come the cops. And, I mean, I am flipped out.
I can imagine.
I'm flipped out. Because you have to understand, when Buzz came over yesterday and saw my SUV.
Yeah.
To say that I was hit by a guy on a bicycle, you have to see the damage to the car to know. This was like something on Jackass. If you said to someone,
mm-hmm.
I bet Johnny Knoxville, I bet you cannot, as fast as you can, ride your car against six lanes of traffic and make it to the other side. This kid was going so freaking hard. Buzz, can you describe
your,
to help
your
describe
car, the your car is like a tank. The damage to the driver's front corner of that truck, it doesn't look like it was caused by a bicycle. It looks like it was caused by, you know, hitting a tree or another car hit it or something.
Headlight. Gone. The roof where he rolled on the roof of the roof of the car.
Whoa.
Also banged up. The bicycle hit the front of the car. The thing's a tangled mess. I'm on the side of the road. I'm just going, I don't freaking believe this. Thank God there were a lot of witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
It was early in the morning and right by the dough roller, right when dinner or breakfast for seniors is getting out. I guess at 10 in the morning it'd be breakfast for seniors.
Yes.
They don't start the early special until later. But a lot of them came running up and said, you know.
So he's sitting up when you got to him, huh?
Yeah. A lot of people said that they thought that this guy was going to get clipped by one of the cars going the other way.
One of the other
when
cars.
When he immediately started this. So
you beat those.
So right away, I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, I can't believe this after what happened to Frida.
Yeah.
Because you know all the things that go through your mind. I'm thinking, even if I had nothing to do with it, I mean, in the
to be involved in that is the trauma right there.
Yeah,
to be
in everything. This, I mean, I'm thinking like, Jesus Christ, I'm going to be put in the shoes of the guy that killed Frida.
Mm-hmm.
Except I didn't cross over a lane of traffic or anything.
Yeah. Right.
And then right away, I think, you know, I mean, because this is when this was happening. The guy is flying behind my car. Like, what the frig? Oh, my God, this guy's dead.
Yeah.
And I mean, then I'm thinking that. Then I'm thinking, guy's dead. The guy's dead. I killed a guy. Mm-hmm. I killed a guy. I don't even know how this effing happened. I don't even know. So I go back, and the cops couldn't have been cooler.
Right.
Their only problem was me, that I was very upset. I was emotional.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Started crying.
Very
you know.
Yeah.
You know, I said that to one of the cops. I said, you know, the cop was like, he's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I know. You know, my wife was killed less than 2 miles. Nobody drives safer in Ocean City than I do.
Right.
I swear to Christ on my wife's grave, I didn't see him coming. He's like, we've got 8,000 witnesses, and we've got cameras. They had video cameras everywhere to see this. So
the hell was he thinking?
Mike, I really don't know, but here is the story. That was in the
the newspaper,
the Friday newspaper
article
where they have the pictures. There's a picture right now, not a picture of me, but it says paramedics load 20-year-old Macalo Ucolo onto a stretcher after he ran into a car while riding his bicycle along across Coastal Highway. And then here's the fabulous story.
There we go.
You know, I can't win. I can't freaking win.
Jesus.
Bicyclist injured. What about me?
Yeah.
A 20-year-old man was sent to the hospital with head injuries September 13th after he collided with an SUV while crossing Coastal Highway against the light. Ocean City Police reported that around 10 a.m., Russian native Mikhailo Fufato attempted to ride his bicycle west across Coastal Highway at 70th Street while the light in that direction was red. In the southbound lanes, Fufalfo hit the side of an SUV driven by Michael Soares of my town. Fufalfo suffered minor head injuries, was taken by ambulance to Peninsula Region Medical Center in Salisbury. So
minor, okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I mean, the guy was extremely lucky.
Yeah.
I'm lucky that nothing happened to him, even though it wasn't my fault.
Right. That's amazing, the velocity that he had to cause that kind of damage.
He had to be moving on.
Was he wearing a helmet or anything?
No. And this was the other thing that was weird. Because after I calmed down, I was talking with the cops who were, like, saying to me, you know, you just chill out, man. You're okay. And then once I chilled out, I got mad at the guy.
Sure.
And they said, well,
I don't blame you.
They said, you know, what can we tell you? People do crap like this. And then I said, look at my car. I mean, now that I knew the guy was okay,
mm-hmm.
I was focusing on my car. And I said, my car's all effed up. It's like, it's going to be thousands of dollars. I said, where do I get this guy's insurance from?
Mm-hmm.
And the cop said, he doesn't need insurance to ride a bicycle.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, but, and then the cop said.
Oh, that's right, you're screwed.
The cop said to me, and the cop was very nice. Not being a dick.
Yeah, but because he's on a bicycle, that's not
he
said, the same deal.
He said it's just like if he was a pedestrian. If he had walked off the curb and walked against the light and he had run into your car, you wouldn't sue him to have your car fixed. He said,
wow.
So all I can tell you is call your insurance company and tell them we've got the report on file.
But it probably won't. You'll have to pay for that damage.
I think so.
Unless you actually went after him civilly or something like that.
No, I'm not going to do that. I don't do that crap. I'm just
pain in the ass.
Just thankful the guy's okay. And,
wow.
And, you know, thank God Big Frida was down there because I was, when that happened.
I bet you were a mess.
I was just, it was like everything that happened to Frida just came
Jesus
back.
Yeah, Christ. Sure.
Times a thousand.
Jesus.
Times a thousand, you know, and I called poor Janet. She was in some meeting, you know, and she's like, she sees it's me, and she's like, well, I can't talk. She said, go out of the room. Well, I got to talk to you right now.
Right.
What's going on? I said, just go out of the effing room. And she leaves whatever meeting she's in. She's like, what is wrong? I said, what is wrong? I almost just killed the guy. And then it was like, imagine poor Janet. I said, the cops are here. I got to go. I'll call you back. Bye.
Go back to your meeting.
I'm
hearing it for the first time, and just, I mean, I'm shocked by the whole.
Yeah.
Just the circumstances. I mean, it's just the whole combination of everything had to be.
So I don't want to.
How long before you really were able to really just take a deep breath? I mean,
like Saturday. What?
Yeah.
Really?
I would think.
Really, I hate to say this because I love Ocean City. Probably yesterday
when I got out of there.
When I left OC yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and Janet's great because when she came down, she was very cool.
God must have had a hard head, you know.
I'm telling you, it was like something out of Jackass. It was like something that you would think some idiot would do as a stunt.
Everybody's seen that. Everybody's seen people on bikes or people that race and try to get across the street. And it's
I've
been on that highway, and that's it's a stupid thing to do.
I had no idea where he was coming from.
Obviously, nobody else did either.
All I could think of was, well, this must be what Frida went through, except much faster.
Yeah.
And she had no idea what was going on.
Right.
I actually looked in the rearview mirror and saw this quad go spinning in the air, you know. And that's just, Jesus Christ. And then a guy, maybe he'll call in today, Johnny. There was a guy from a linen company in Salisbury, there were a lot of people there that were witnesses. As it turns out, I didn't need any because they, like everybody standing on the street saw this. But the one guy behind me was really a straight shooter. I mean, he came running up to my car, you know, and said, "Are you okay?" And I was like shaking, and I had a little cut on my forehead, and I was crying and stuff. Like, I don't know what's going on. And he said, "Are you done?"
Oh, great.
Good timing.
No, but he was a good guy.
Good.
He
was, did the impact of the bike, did that give you the cut?
It gave me a little thing in the head. But no, it wasn't the bike. It was me jerking my head around
right. To
look at what happened.
Yeah,
with my
right.
big, dumb, flat head going, you know, boom, boom, boom. Boom.
Jesus.
So anyway, always good to get your name in the newspaper.
Yes.
You know what that is? That's nothing but positive publicity.
That's right.
Wow.
Good.
So,
wow, double wow.
So poor Big Frieda. You
yeah.
know, thank God she was there. Because I went over there and just said, "Mom, you are not going to effing believe this."
Yes. Let's sit on it. Unreal.
Jesus Christ.
And obviously she was a big help to you.
Yep, she was.
That's good.
Yeah. She's great. And Janet's great. So that's why I said I had a lot of stuff that I, the Max thing I'm getting over, I'm fine with. This thing's kind of weird.
That is weird.
Understand.
That's weird, but hey, you know what? A little damage to your car, everybody's okay. That's yeah. That's the most important thing.
Yep.
And,
yeah.
Probably a pretty hard head that landed there back there. Probably a hard head that resulted in him trying to make that move.
I can laugh about it now, but the thought that you've killed somebody.
Oh, my God.
I mean, really.
That's terrifying.
And then what that did was that made me start thinking all over again.
Right.
Maybe
yep.
a downer, but maybe they're like, well, look at that prick who killed Frieda. How could he possibly live with himself?
Yeah.
You know, I never went after that guy. Never did any court stuff. Never went after any money. But that effort never even, like, had the decency to pick up the phone and at least say, "Hey, you know, it was an accident. I'm sorry it happened."
Right.
I mean, when I jumped out of the car, it was probably a foolish thing to do because it wasn't my fault. But the first thing I did, I said, like, "I'm sorry." And they would run back.
Of course.
I said, "I'm sorry.
You're human.
Fresh. Are you okay? God damn, are you okay?" And when he said, "The light is green."
That was, "I will splash the pup whenever the F I please."
That's where I said, "Do we have a witness?"
Right.
Can I get a witness?
Immediately.
And of course, his Russian.
Right away, you know he's not hurt.
His Russian buddies came by. "Oh, can we get his bicycle? Are you the man that hit him on the bicycle?" I said, "No, no, no. He hit me." And one of these guys said, "No, you are in a car. He's on a bicycle."
Yeah.
Okay. Listen.
Oh, he's such an
advantage. I tell you what, Vladimir. Or whatever. Who's the big Rusky that Rocky Balboa fought? Who is the...
I don't remember.
Yeah, Rocky IV. Anyway, Johnny, you got it?
Drago.
Thank you, Johnny.
Drago.
All right, well, listen. Ladies and gentlemen, in between, the drama does not end there.
No.
Let's come back. Let's find out about Mike's holiday. Let's find out about Mike's trip to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And let's find out what happened when Mike got back.
That's fine.
Okay.
I don't think I can add anything more to the tease. There was a little vacationing, you know, a little gambling, you know, a little recreating, and a little relationship issue.
All right. So it's always a fun show on Monday. Coming back.
Yeah. I'm going to be fine. Good. Don's fine. I'm going to be fine.
We're all fine.
Everybody's going to be just fine.
Don't forget my birthday tomorrow.
You know what? I want one of you efforts to call me this time. Because seriously, I am being God's honest serious. It is a possibility that I would do it. I would do it all over again.
Let it happen.
I'll explain that. And I'm not. Okay. And I am not for one second using the thing I'm going to talk about to justify that, because you know what? You know what I'm using?
You're right.
I'm using the fact that nobody called me.
Fair enough. We'll be right back with more show.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
And, you know, with Hitler, the more I learn about that guy, the more I don't care for him. I can't... And nothing, there's nothing redeeming about the guy. I tell you, the guys, I go, how on earth could these Germans, like, follow this lunatic, you know? And they're like, oh, he was an incredible public speaker, you know? He could hypnotize you with his public speaking. And then I see him, he's like, correctly, correctly, correctly! I go, what? That's not my idea of a silver-tongued devil, you know. Don
and Mike Show. And
music.
And the Don and Mike Show.
Forever straining at stool, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I got suck-ass celebrity birthdays.
On your birthday?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, incidentally.
Thank you. You forgot it. I just wanted to work it in for anybody who had birthdays. Ow! Mike, forgot my birthday. Yeah.
Let me see.
Do you think James Gandolfini is older than me or younger than me?
Older.
I'm 48 today. He's 45.
Wow.
He looks older.
He does.
Lance Armstrong has my birthday.
He's younger.
Much younger.
He's definitely younger.
But you have more testicles.
Anybody else?
Isn't he missing one?
Yes. Yes, he is. Fred Willard has my birthday.
Ah, he's funny.
That's good.
Comics Constant Companion.
And
back in 19...
And my...
I got a real red wagon.
I can't do my work.
I love that. It's my favorite tape.
You know that guy we all like so bad?
Who?
Robert Blake.
Yeah, man.
We all like him so bad.
You shared a birthday with that guy?
Wow.
Him too.
Well, maybe I'll get you what I've always wanted to get you.
What's that?
A little gift certificate to Vitello's.
Oh, no.
That's that restaurant I like so bad where I left my gun.
So, Mike, how was your holiday?
It was fine.
Your time away. When you were in Las Vegas.
It was just fine. I went out to Vegas with a guy that I work with, Jeff, for a couple of days.
Then I had a day
in Las Vegas after my gay weekend, Labor Day weekend.
Oh, hold on. I just have to ask. Did you, in fact, sit in with Wayne Newton, or did you go see Wayne Newton?
No, but I want to thank Wayne Newton's drummer for contacting me. Mark informed me that Wayne was not going to be in town. Oh. His schedule did not have him on the docket for Las Vegas.
Next time.
I, you know, as I was saying, I went out with...
Oh, crap. Hold on. I got a name drop for one second. Yes. You just reminded me. Yes. I do want to thank... My girlfriend got this guy that I know, Carlito Fuente, from the Fuente Opus.
Right.
That's Fuente Cigars, Cartel. My favorite cigars. Got him to call me and just say happy birthday today.
Wow.
So I wanted it. I mean, it, what, Mike?
That makes me feel bad.
Good. but when you were mentioning names there, I wanted
to... But it's the same mood that I've been in for about
the name.
4 days, so
really?
That's okay.
It was good to talk to...
It's actually the mood I've been in since I got back from vacation.
Carlito Fuente.
See, I got back from vacation on the previous Monday. I know we were off for 2 weeks, but I was in Las Vegas, so my 10 days in Vegas was really my vacation. I got back, and I was doing a lot of other stuff.
10 days? That's a long time, Dad.
Longest time I've ever been in a gambling emporium.
Damn, 10 days in Vegas.
That was absolutely... I left on... when did I leave? Saturday. Took the late night flight out to Vegas, and I came back on Sunday, the red eye, getting in very early a week before last Monday.
Wow.
So it was...
10 days.
And I'm here to tell you, I lost consistently
but you
in a variety of different casinos. I lost.
For 10 days.
Damn, damn, damn!
I did that many times out there. Although I was enjoying myself, and I didn't lose, like, and there's a movie I've been watching that's a terrible, horrible movie with Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's on the one of those high def channels,
yeah.
And it's a Canadian movie, and it's about him and it being a degenerate gambler, and how he works in a bank, and he swindles the bank out of millions of dollars, and all he does is, like, gamble it all away, and the casinos are done so badly. It's such a B-movie, and the casinos, it's obviously done, like, in some warehouse where they put tables down and pretended it was a casino, and I think it's John Hurt, the English actor that plays the head of the casino, and he's totally miscast as being, hey, I'm a tough casino owner, but he's got that fake, you know, when a British actor is trying to do the tough guy in New York. The reason I say that is because I'm a bit of a degenerate gambler, and I think maybe that's why I'm having trouble saying degenerate.
You know who's good at that is that guy Bob Hoskins.
Yeah.
We saw the movie Hollywoodland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a really good movie. Don't let Ben Affleck scare you off.
I'd like to see it.
That's a really good movie. And
I'm actually going to look forward to seeing Ben Affleck as George Reeves. I'm going to look forward
to
that. Yeah. Yeah.
That's Hollywoodland. That's what
is that what it's called, Hollywoodland?
That's Hollywoodland.
So it's not called like the behind-the-scenes life of the original TV Superman. No,
you'll be disappointed if you think it is.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. All I know is when we left that movie, and it has that guy who has a British accent.
The, right, Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, he's got a real heavy, but he plays a guy from MGM who's just a ball buster.
I always remember him from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, he right. got
great in Roger
right,
Rabbit. Yeah. Eddie Valiant.
Me too. So we were leaving the theater. I said to Janet, "Do you like that?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "No, you didn't." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because you like You've Got Mail."
No!
There it'll always get back to that. But you're not one to harp on things.
No, I'm not. It's now a minute after five on my birthday. 7 hours left.
There it is.
Mike forgot it. You know, think you work with the guy for over 20 goddamn years.
I know.
Over 20 years.
I know. I'm sorry.
Over 20
I'm really
years.
Sorry, and I'll make it up to you.
That's okay.
I never can make
you
it up
won't.
To you.
You won't.
I can never give you anything that would
Don't worry,
please
man.
You to such an extent. I'm certainly not going to throw money at the problem. I just got done doing that for 10 days.
Did you
know, because my philosophy is when you lose, if you throw a little more money at the problem, perhaps you'll win.
It'll turn around.
10 days is a really long time to be out there. Was there any time during the 10 days when you were ahead?
No.
Wow. Ever?
No.
And you stayed.
So you were down all 10 days.
I was less behind.
You're
well, that's good.
Hold on, I know.
There were moments. There were moments when I was just behind.
You were catching up.
And based on certain weekends I've had in Atlantic City, I certainly could have been in very dire straits if I had continued to, gamble and not find certain distractions, like the first distractions at Mandalay Bay, which was a little adult-themed beach club where, my feeling was this. I was out there. I was by myself. Why go to, like, the regular pool where there are thousands of people when you can get a little surcharge put on your room and go to the topless pool, right? And I said, well, it's here. I've heard about it for years. I think anybody that's been to Vegas has heard about this.
Right.
This
yeah, pool club. I see fish.
And I go there, and this is Labor Day weekend. So the environment around this pool club is, number one, it's packed. Number two, do you remember in the days you and I went down, the one time we went down to the Bobby Poe convention, the DJ convention, and all those record guys were in the pool, with their chains.
Yeah,
remember that?
Sure.
And they loved hanging out at the pool.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I can compare it to. It was like that. And I go out there, and I said, this will be interesting. It'll be a chance to go out to the pool and see what kind of freak show it really is. And the waitress says to me, well, we only have one chaise lounge.
Uh-huh.
And she has it with a smirk. I said, what's the deal with that? And she points and she said, well, it's the only place you're going to be able to put your towel down, and it's next to that guy. I don't know if you can see him up there. And she points to the upper deck of this pool ledge, and there is a man who I would estimate at maybe just shy or maybe just north of 70 years old, who is wearing not a Speedo, not a thong.
Don, baby, how's it going?
He is wearing, and it's funny you mentioned that tape, that you play that tape, he's wearing a G-string.
Like a pouch.
And he's wearing a G-string, and he has a visor on.
Sure.
And he is also, he's got a visor, and he's wearing, I don't know if I can describe these gloves properly. They're not
gloves.
They're gloves. Gloves.
Like what? Like
he wasn't wearing them when I put my towel down.
Like sure. Winter gloves or driving gloves?
They're different. They would almost be gloves that like watermen would use to shuck oysters.
Like heavy.
Or people in a restaurant to shuck oysters.
Right.
You know those
mean.
White.
They're lightweight,
kind of,
but durable.
They're lightweight, kind of.
Yeah.
And
what color were they? Black.
They were
like rubbery.
They were white, and they were obviously like oil stained, and they were stained. They were disgusting looking.
Of course.
When I got up there, and the only reason I went up there is out of curiosity, I said, if I'm going to be next to this guy, I'm not going to, put my towel down. He had gotten up, so I hadn't gotten a close look.
You're a 70-year-old guy, and you're only there because it's a topless beach.
And I'm there, yeah. And that's the only reason I've gone in there.
But I love the fact that you're there for that, and you and some 70-year-old
And I'm next to,
guy.
Well, it's mostly guys, and then most of the women are not topless. It's, but there are a few that were.
Mm-hmm.
And the few that were, interesting. Very, very interesting. And then there's some that were not so interesting.
Right.
And then there were some that shouldn't have been interesting at all. That really shouldn't have done that at all.
Yeah,
no matter what. No matter how free their lifestyle is or whatever. So by the time I get up to the chaise lounge, this guy has moved over, way over to the other side of the pool. And I can kind of see him from a distance. But I'm like, okay, what the hell? I'll put my stuff down. And I'm hanging out. And it is 102 or 103 degrees. It is absolutely sweltering.
Is it dry?
And it's not a dry heat. It was a, what it was a mirage inducing, make you dizzy, insane heat. It was that high. So, you know, short time thereafter, I have to get up and I go into the pool. And I immediately, you know, am trying to do what I'm sure, there are two types of guys. I actually don't have my sunglasses on, so I'm not looking at anyone. Because I don't want to make it look as though I'm ogling. Then you have the guys, and there were certain types there. You have the guys that are with the women that are doing this, that are like kind of a Goomba, you know.
Right.
Hey, Shelly! It was really fascinating. I mean, it was, the social dynamic of this was, it was non-stop entertainment. Not only do you have the occasional women who are bare-breasted, but you also have, and these were the two guys, they were twin brothers. And they had baseball caps on and mirrored sunglasses.
How you doing?
And they, no, they were more like, you know, I think maybe from the Midwest or something like that. Mm. And these guys thought, I know they thought they were being sneaky. I had more fun watching these guys try to be subtle.
Oh, what?
When all they were doing
looking
was...
Looking at the chicks?
Not non-stop. Like, non-stop. With these little smirky... They both had... These little pencil mustache kind of things.
Yeah.
And I was watching them and going,
boobage.
And they're just, and obviously they obviously have not seen a lot of boobage because they are thoroughly enjoying this scene. By the time I got back to my, you know, I cooled off in the pool and I got back and by that time, he's there.
Gloves?
And he's there. No, the gloves are not on, but I sit down with my back to the guy and I'm not even looking at the guy, but I've got him in my peripheral. I lasted 45 minutes at the pool. I was there probably total about 45 minutes. Next to this guy, I lasted about 8 minutes.
Why?
Because it was maybe 2 minutes after I lay down, and I'm on my back. You know, I don't believe men need to get their backs tanned. You know, you want to get your front tanned.
That's what we're going to do.
He rolls over.
All right.
And I am looking at butt crack. Basically, and I, at that point...
Yeah, what guy cares about getting his back done?
Yeah, I mean, don't you believe that? When
you
sun yourself,
you sit frontwards.
Front
forward, right.
Well, you know, the guy that cares about getting his back done is the guy that wants to tan his buttock.
He's a fag.
I don't know what he was. Nobody at this pool knew what he was. I quizzed a couple of the servers there. I said, what is the deal with this? I said, is he a regular? I got the impression this would be a regular. So when he rolled over, I said, and I audibly said, I don't know if he heard it, but I know the people next to me heard it.
Rolled over.
I said, that's it. And gathered up my towel and was on my merry way.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was an experience. You know,
leave it to me.
I go to the topless pool.
10 days.
And I'm next to the guy with the buck. Well, I did manage to
10 days and
lose a bit of.
Oh, who cares? 10 days in Vegas.
Out there with a couple of days, one day on my own,
and then
I started getting a little bit ill because of the late nights and the smoky casinos. It's not the healthiest environment, and I think maybe also the 105 degree temperature didn't help too. Played a lot of golf when I was out there.
Oh.
Tried to play golf one day when the temperature was 105 degrees. When you're playing golf in the desert, it was just I made it through 15 holes and actually said. It was 4 hours and 40 minutes, so it was going to be an over 5 hour round.
Right.
I said, guys, I'd love to stay, but I really thought the lights were going to go out. It was one of those deals. But Carla came into Vegas on.
Guys, I'm afraid I'm going to die.
I'll see you later. I'm really thinking, and this is not a Hispanic attack. I really think I'm going to pass away. So so long, enjoy. I really like the conversation. I recommend the topless beach at Mandalay Bay. Go check that out. Carla comes into town on Wednesday.
You know what? That's a good place to stop.
And she was going to join me for Wednesday. Not was. She did join me. I might qualify that.
Let's stop there.
From Wednesday through the following Sunday.
Stop
she
there,
was there for a long weekend.
I'll give you a whole segment when we come back.
I will tell you that the next segment I will discuss the ongoing gambling that I enjoyed.
Right.
Had a wonderful time in Las Vegas once Carla got there. And then something very, very magical began to happen as I got sicker and during the time that we arrived back.
Huh.
It was sort of a reaction that I had to...
I don't think Mike is being honest, but this is magical.
Magical. Well, what magical things happen when you don't expect them to happen.
Right.
When things happen that are unexpected, that can be magical, too.
The magic.
And apparently, magic of living with me.
All right, let's stop right there.
Seem to wear out on
let's
certain
stop
people.
Stop right there.
Impossible. Now, with that, I will go into detail.
Okay,
I don't want to say anything more.
Okay.
Yeah. I will say that there are issues that I am dealing with.
Anybody out there that wants
that
to...
I dealt with over this past weekend and that I am currently dealing with now.
Anybody that wants to bitch about the amount of vacation we take, you know what I say? You take today's show and you just play it over and over again.
Yep.
Because, you know, where else are you going to find us?
Nowhere.
We take a couple of weeks off. Sure, the crocodile hunter croaked. And, sure, Anna Nicole Smith's son is gone. And,
yeah.
And sure, Meredith Vieira is on The View.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ, some bicycle guy ran into me and almost offed himself. And
I'm in tatters again.
I'm in a shambles.
Yeah.
I am. I'm back to where I always am.
We come strong after a holiday.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Poor Buzz, he puked all over himself.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
But I bet you thought that was really something before you met us.
Huh? Yeah, I did. It's nothing.
Before
now.
You bumped into us after the little holiday.
Sorry I brought it up.
Right. Yeah. Right. Please get out of here.
And you know what? When you said you trumped me up in the office when we were talking about our issues that we had, man, I wasn't sure whether you had, but goddamn if you didn't.
Yeah, that's a winning.
That's a winning hand. You know what? You got pocket aces. You got pocket aces. I was coming to the show today with Ace Queen.
And Mike went all in.
I went all in with Ace Queen, and he's got the pocket aces.
Unreal.
Happy birthday.
The Russian bicyclist.
Man, that's great.
Oh, and it's Ocean City Today. That is the newspaper.
I subscribe.
No need, Mike. It's free. It's super fresh.
I love it. Okay. I love it since Meredith Vieira went on that show.
We'll find out what happened with Mike behind the green door. When we come right back.
Number 4 Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Hi there, I'm Brian Griffin, and you're listening to The Lunch Hour, serving up food for the mind. Today's entree is politics. What's on your mind today? The governor's budget? Stem cell research? Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion. Okay, we have a question from Quahog. Caller, you're on The Lunch Hour. Can I take your order?
Yes, I have a big helping of the pretentious crap.
And we're out of time. This has been The Lunch Hour. And remember, life is full of entrees, so don't fill up on bread. I'm going to throw you now to Weenie in the Butt in the afternoon.
Weenie in the Butt!
Oh, my God!
Turn it on and rip the knob off!
You're listening to the radio, the Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Good morning! You're here with Dingo.
And the baby.
And if you're thinking about changing the station.
Don't do it.
Today we got homeless Hank from the dumpster out back with us.
Hey, I got an idea.
How about the first three women willing to come down and have sex with Hank get free boob jobs courtesy of Dr. John Viner?
Are you reading my mind, man?
But...
Here's the sun of your day. Good times, good times, good times. With the Don and Mike Show.
That's your family guy last night, right? I was flipping by right at the very beginning.
Flipping
funny.
Those, you know, those shows, the thing about The Simpsons, which comes on before The Family Guy, it just amazes me how long, seriously, I was talking to somebody about this, how long has that actually been on now? How long has the Family Guy's been on since?
About 30 years.
I mean, it's a happy birthday.
The Family Guy. Hold on. Mike, you're going to ask a question that he is going to give you an elongated answer to.
I just want to know how long. And Simpsons has been on, it seems like, since I was 12.
92.
All right.
Thank you, Rob. Nice to keep it short.
Thank you.
Now.
I know we have other business to take care of.
We do.
Yeah.
Hi, friend.
How are you?
How are you? Ready for some sharing?
Yeah. I have to share. I had taken us up to the point where I came back from Las Vegas, and Carl and I had a wonderful time in Las Vegas. Actually, it was a lot of fun. Went to a few shows out there. I went to good restaurants. Did some gambling. Hung out by the pool. It was a very, very good trip. When we got back, however, things. I don't really want to say that things began to unravel,
But things did begin to
unravel,
get a little tense.
Oh.
And they culminated with, it was me being sick, along with coming back and dealing with the, you know, the day-to-day. I think after 10 days in this fantasy land where you're not, you know, you don't have any responsibilities, and coming back and dealing with a lot of the different crap that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, like anybody else, and being, you know, having this chest cold where I was really, really sick, I was not the easiest person to deal with. And so I was very, very ornery. And Carla was feeling ill also. She had gotten a little of the same thing. She was feeling ill, and it was a very, very tense week. Monday through about Thursday was very, 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 very tense.
Last week.
Very, very tense. It culminated where we were fighting a lot, we were arguing a lot, and finally the fight really ended with one of those knockdown drag-out fights where she said, I'm going to leave, and I said, I don't want you to leave, and then she said, I want to leave, and then I said, well, then go ahead, leave, and she ended up leaving and going to her mom's, and actually, you know, at that point, it was one of those deals where I left the house, and when I came back, you know, much later on, things were, you know, gone and cleaned out. Now, with that said, you know, that is where the situation is right now.
She took your stuff?
She took everything I had.
Wow.
The cars, everything. I was cleaned out. No, she took her stuff.
I know.
And it was very, very tense and very stressful. And it still is stressful for me because I'm still, you know, we're finding our way. The day after this happened, we began to talk. We began to talk a lot about our relationship. And then it was determined that for now, for the foreseeable future, we are going to continue to see each other. We're going to continue to have an exclusive relationship. This is not an I want to see other people. This is, right. I want to see, you know, where we're going to go with this relationship. And I agree with her. And I think that's where we have to be.
I'm not busting your chops. I'll just ask the questions as they come out.
Yes, go right ahead.
Why'd this one leave?
that's
nice. Payback for the birthday.
That is.
No, I think
seriously, I will tell you what. I understand.
You didn't tell everybody on the radio what you told me upstairs, and I mean, maybe there's a way you want to say it.
There is a way I want to say it. What I want to say is that, you know, it is not always, obviously, you know, relationships are not my bag. I'm not good at it. I think I tend to be, and this is serious, you're going to laugh at this because it does directly impact you. I tend to be very scattered when it comes to relationships and very distant, and I tend to overlook things. I truly do. I'm becoming more aware of that every day. I know that. With that said, we have, as anybody who has listened to the show for a length of time, we have obstacles that other people do not have.
You and Carla.
Yes, we have obstacles of, you know, the fact that I'm a single dad, the fact that, you know, but it's not anything that other people don't deal with, but you also deal with, you know, a tremendous age difference there. And I, you know, this was, you know, I mentioned to you that, you know, not only did we talk this weekend, but she came over yesterday. She stayed yesterday. I, you know, cooked a birthday dinner. We had a very, very nice time together. And we are doing some very heavy and personal stuff I will not talk about on the radio. Some very heavy, conversations about our relationship, where we're going to go, what we're going to do. And, it, you know, it's kind of a thing where when she came up with this, you know, where she said, I think that maybe that it's a good idea to take some time and do this. Although I was not happy, what I said was, yeah, you know what? I feel that might be the right thing, too. And as the weekend progressed, I did feel that way. Now, as we went into Monday, you know, relationships are all up, down. You change your mood, the way you feel. You know, getting back to work and getting back into the swing of work, that was very difficult for me because it was, you know, my life had been a little bit more, well, her life's been upset too. So, I mean, she's living where she doesn't want to live. She, you know, she doesn't want to be, you know, living in the guest room at her mom's house. She doesn't want to do that. And I don't want to be, you know, living without her right now. It's not something that I want to do. But I understand that we have issues that we have to work on. So what we did was, you know, basically relationship counseling without a counselor there, where we went back and forth and we did more open, honest communicating about our relationship and all the issues that are involved with this than we ever have before. And I think we're at the beginning stages of that. We're going to continue, and we both have agreed very seriously to see
where that goes. You know, I think that, you know, I'm not sure it's a bad thing. And I thought initially I was very upset because it was in the heat of battle. It was having a fight. And I said, yeah, you want to go like that. And then of course, as soon as she went, I kind of took it personally. And then when we began to talk more, it actually was a little bit different. So, but the bottom line is, as I say to our listeners, especially people that have listened for a very long time, here I go again. What I'm not doing here is I'm not going to go into detail. I know I've gone into detail. And I'm also not going to sit here and beat myself up. I'm not going to do that either. I think this is something that we're working on. But was it a surprise to me? If you want to ask that question, yes, it was. It was a surprise. It was a surprise insofar as it caught me once again where I wasn't. But I don't think this is necessarily...
They love to leave you.
I don't think it was a surprise because I think I wasn't paying close enough attention. And that I'm very secure with knocking myself for that reason and that reason alone. As far as all the other things that we've discussed in our relationship, you know, it's the same thing everybody deals with. Everybody has the same pressures in life. I don't care what they are. You know, the fact that I, you know, am a single parent and I have to deal with that, you know, somebody might have a person that's dealing with other things that are stressful in their life. You know, the fact that, you know, everything that we do here can be stressful. You know, that's part of the deal. When you do a job, when you're in the public eye, that's, you know, but everybody has their different degrees of stress. I think what I do more than a lot of people is I internalize it. I make it worse than it is, and I let it progressively get me down, 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 down to the point where, you know, I'm not an easy person to communicate with. And that is why I think I'm in the situation I'm in. With that said, you know, she's very young compared to me. Certainly she's very young, and she's at a time in her life where she's got a...
That's right.
I've got more, I think, life experience as far as relationships, certainly. And I know that at this stage in my life, I think I'm old enough to know it's not always going to be the fairy tale. But I think when I was, you know, when people are in their mid-20s, they think that maybe it is going to be the fairy tale. I know that's not true. I know that in order to make something work, it requires work. So what that, now, there is the explanation of the, as much as I want to go into it, of what happened over the weekend. Other than that, it sucks. It really does. I'm very, you know, of course I'm very, very down. I'm very, very realistic, but I'm also very down because it's, you know, you don't want that to happen. You want everything to go your way, but it doesn't go your way unless you put some more effort into it, which is where I am right now. And so we will see. I will certainly keep you posted. I had a discussion with Carla last night, about the fact that I was going to talk about this. And, you know, I said, I have to, because more and more as the show has gone on, as you know, maybe through your coaching, maybe through not, you have, you know, let me know that this is not a bad vehicle to kind of get things off your chest, and it kind of clears you a little bit.
Good, bad, and different. Yeah. People can relate to what you're going through.
And I do it a little differently now, and I do it a little more easily now than I've done it before. I've always been able to talk about bad stuff that happens to me. I think someday I want to talk about good stuff that happens to me. But really, if you consider the fact that I got a bronchial chest cold over the lost money in Las Vegas and had my girlfriend leave me at the end of last week, I would not call it one of the best vacations that I've ever had.
Like it, no.
But with no reason to forget my birthday. Though.
No reason to, absolutely no reason to forget
no
your birthday. None whatsoever. You know what? Hey, I'll take one more step. You know what it is? It was a reason to remember your birthday. Of all the things that I should have, this was the birthday I should have remembered.
You've never...
For God's sakes, you had a guy ride a bicycle 70 miles into the side of your car.
You've never come back from one of your bender weekends and had me say to you, I'm leaving?
No. No, you've been there for me.
I'm always here for
you've
you,
You've always
baby.
Been there. We've
always
had our fights.
Always here for you, baby.
We've had our ups and downs.
Always, baby.
But it was, you know, the thing that I want to say Vegas, about this.
Baby.
I don't want this.
10 days in Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas.
Look what it did for me. Yeah. No, actually, the part with Carla was the best part of Vegas. We had a great time. We had a lot of fun. We really did. But
sounds like it.
No, Vegas had nothing to do.
I'm just
the overall BS that when I came back from Vegas, is what kind of, you know, got her down and got... Now, with that said, what we are doing, and she spent the night at my house last night. We are...
There you go, Tiger. That's right. Why pay for that, milk? You know,
I'm not paying for the milk anyway, though. I'm technically really not
she
doing
your
that.
Groceries?
What's that?
Eating your groceries?
Yeah, she actually buys the groceries.
Drinking your water?
She bought the groceries,
wow.
You'd say.
Using your light bulbs?
That's not productive.
That's not helpful.
But I think that I think that really, you know, I don't know. I know at this stage of the time that I
mean, should I be on your side in this or should I be on her side?
Nobody, they're not sides with this. Good. Because she is down. And she is
okay, here's
she's
what
tired of feeling down and tired of feeling like because I'm down. And it gets to a person after a while.
Uh-huh.
And so I completely and totally understand.
When will women learn? You can. I'm not doing this like it's a gag. You, mm-hmm. you cannot change us.
No.
You cannot change us. God bless her. Frieda knew that about me.
But the thing is,
you cannot change. You know, just you think. You know, we're screwed up. Take us like we are.
That's well, right. Here's the deal. I think that you know.
Did you do it? Did you do something that was so over the line, jerky? Such a
well, the catalyst as far as you know when we had a fight was just like you know oh you want to leave f you that kind of thing
but
that's no this was something
so
where
was no
this was a mindset
bit.
This was a mindset of I've been feeling this way I'm not feeling like myself I just feel I need to do this and right now once we talked about it over the weekend I wasn't prepared to say I disagree with you I was prepared to say that I think maybe this is good and we ended up having you know it was I'm sorry about this. Her birthday yesterday.
You mentioned that to
so
me.
Perhaps
today.
I focused on more than
you
yours.
Mentioned that to me.
You know, I love her. She's a good, wonderful hearted person. Yeah. And we're gonna see what
she's
happens
well
with this.
Spoken.
And you know what? It is really I'm not trying to be patronizing.
No, I'm
right
trying
now.
To do the thing they do on TV. Look at him, he's well spoken, he understands the offense.
I know. Is that what it sounded like?
He's got a good command. What are you saying? Cliche stuff about her.
Well, but she does have a good heart, and I believe that. I've always believed that.
Not doubting that.
And I think that you know where this goes. I'll keep you posted. I will let you know what's happening. All I know is that you know coming through the weekend, it was a very 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 difficult weekend, and a productive weekend at the same time. It was bad, and it was also a little bit. We learned a little bit about ourselves,
and we
communicated very very openly.
Would you be offended if I asked around?
Yeah, I'm still seeing her. Absolutely, I'd be.
Well, she's not living with you.
No, but I'd be. Now, don't. Now,
there's
now
no ring on her finger.
You're really getting me mad now.
You can't
watch
get mad
it,
at me today.
That's
birthday.
Right, happy birthday. You can
you
do that all you want.
My birthday.
But hey, man.
Root for me.
Good luck.
No,
we are.
Of course
no,
we
it's
are.
Just, you know. I'm just doing. I'm doing what I can do.
Hang in there, Mike.
Yeah, I'm doing the best I can.
Hang
right
in there.
Under the circumstances.
Me too.
You know. What's that?
Can you come beat her up?
No, stop it. Shut up. That is. You know what? F you.
That's his answer to everything.
Yeah, that is your answer to everything.
That's how I handle
that
it.
And eating.
Okay.
I like
these. I do too.
Beat and eat.
That's his new restaurant. That's Rob's new beat and eat. Thanks for coming to beat me.
Okay, be right back.
All right.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, hold on. It's time for the boner of the weekend.
He's going to have to live with this boner for a long time.
All right, now this guy's name is Bert Blylevin. He used to be a pitcher with your Minnesota Twins.
Knuckleballer, I believe.
Think you might be right.
Yep.
Anyway, he's doing some color commentary. And he doesn't know his microphone is on.
No.
Good. Yeah. Let me make sure I got the right cut.
Bert Blylevin, Minnesota Twin.
Here we go.
It's great. He drops the F-bomb more than once.
Joe Mauer, 2-for-5 so far in the series against Jeter. We're going to do this thing over again because I just it up. Well, we're live.
And Torrey Hunter has been huge for Minnesota.
He's going to have to live with this boner for a long time.
Oh, God, they don't even do that. Yeah, I didn't think they did that anymore. They were cutting it open.
Even when they're, you know, they...
Live
just,
on the air.
Oh, my
we'll
God.
Hear it one more time.
Yes.
He got 5 days off
right
without pay.
Joe Mauer, 2-for-5 so far in the series against Jeter. We're going to do this thing over again because I just it up. We're live.
I didn't know that Torrey Hunter has been huge for Minnesota.
play-by-play guy.
He's going to have to live with this boner for a long time.
Yeah, he will.
Broadcasting, on average, five times a week, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, let's see now. Tomorrow on the show, Rob assures me he's not making this up. When we were on vacation, Rob and his wife, Carrie, went on a cruise.
Right.
And it was a cruise, they unbeknownst to them, booked by a bunch of people with an organization called J-Date. He called me up and he said, you're not going to believe this. He said, what are the odds, Rob and Carrie,
right,
General Tavares, what are the odds that they get on a boat, he gets on a boat, with hundreds of single Jews,
wow,
who are identified by J-Dating,
bracelets.
Yeah, bracelets.
So it's a Jewish singles organization?
Yes.
That's perfect.
And he found somebody,
that's perfect for you.
He found some lady who was finding fake Jews.
That was Esther.
Oh, really? People that weren't really Jewish that were trying to,
yeah.
like Rob.
Took a soak in the mighty Caribbean with sweet Esther, who used the fake name. But much good to tell. Much good
wow,
to
tell. Wow, I can't wait.
Fantastic. Let me see. Also this week.
Carrie didn't leave you, did she?
Oh,
okay.
Also this week on the show, our friend Greg Garcia.
Oh, good.
From My Name is Earl.
Got to congratulate him on his Emmy.
It'll be on Thursday, because the show, My Name is Earl, starts
here,
Thursday.
Yeah.
And you know, they just got it in Murderer's Row. I mean,
it's going to be Thursday night.
It's on against Grey's Anatomy and CSI.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's like at 9 o'clock.
Now, NBC is throwing their show up against CSI Miami tonight. And I got kind of a dilemma because I've
got everything. Live from the studio.
Studio 60.
Yeah.
You know what? Save your money and watch the one with Tina Fey.
Yeah, that's really? That's, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, Shales gave it kind of an review. Yeah. So.
New York papers liked it.
Really?
Yeah.
Tebow. I mean, everybody's talking about it. That's the water cooler talk is the
Aaron
Studio
Sparkle.
60 is the one to go. But, of course, CSI Miami is going to be in Brazil. Who doesn't want to see David Caruso in a thong?
Friday,
I thought you did.
Friday on the show, we'll have from CBS's NFL show, our good friend JB.
Good.
Walked across the street from CBS, from Fox to CBS.
Right.
And boy, as someone who watches those pregame shows, and I consider myself an aficionado, Fox is so effed. If you watched them yesterday, what they do is they put the Fox guys in a plexiglass cave.
Great audio.
Yeah.
Really, really good audio.
And like yesterday they were in front of Philly.
Right.
In front of the stadium in Philly.
Great people.
So it's all of those drunk Eagles fans just pounding on the plexiglass.
Right.
And they're trying to do the show and they're distracted and people are holding up signs.
Yeah.
And
there was some corporal punishment in Philly last night.
At least Joe Buck is forceful.
I don't know.
I like Joe Buck play by play. But it's a weird little thing with him.
I turned on that CBS show, and man, I'm not saying this because he's our friend. James Brown, JP's goddamn good at that, man.
Yeah. It's really, you realize how significant he was to the Fox NFL Sunday.
It is a talent. And did anybody else who might have been watching that show yesterday feel weird like me when he said, and no reason he shouldn't, I mean, I'm going to sound like a super fag saying this. He was talking about Norman Esiason, you know, Boomer Esiason.
Mm-hmm.
He said, let's go to the Blonde Bomber. And I thought, oh, now JB, Terry Bradshaw is the Blonde Bomber.
Yeah,
and
a little dig, huh?
And he says stuff like, hey, I'm here as always with my guys, Shannon.
Didn't miss a beat.
Used to be his other guy.
Right. He's a pro. I mean, he just puts on the hat. But just on audio alone,
the Fox
show is so screwed up.
And, you know,
it's so, like, reactionary. It's just that they seem to have been thinking on the fly.
I don't know about you. I don't care what the weather's going to be for half the games.
Yeah.
I like seeing Jillian Barbary's big teats and her nice ass. and they cut her out of the show.
Wow.
They just cut her out of the
show. She's not on it anymore?
She's got Frank Caliendo, our friend, still gets his little piece.
But they don't have Jillian Barbary anymore?
No, because they're not in the studio anymore.
What were they thinking?
Frank has nice breath.
Is the reason they're doing this is because it's a cheap issue? Because they get Joe Buck for the play-by-play and the host of the studio show?
I think they just got caught with their pants down.
Joe Buck's got to be a little burned by the end of Sunday, too.
The first pregame, wasn't Bradshaw supposed to anchor it?
Yeah,
wasn't that an experiment?
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times Fox will have for instance, the 4 o'clock game is the game Joe Buck will be calling. So they're doing the pregame show from a stadium with nobody there.
Right.
Because the game's not for 6 more hours.
Well, they better figure it out. It's going to really show quickly, I think, in the ratings. It really is.
All right. And let's see. One more thing about football. We'll have all of our fantasy football discussion tomorrow on the show. Have it up on our website.
Who am I rooting for again tonight? Who do I want to have a good night? Because I just didn't pay attention to
Willie Parker.
I mean, I put him in the lineup.
I did
the lineup, but I just don't. Willie Parker.
You are losing by 10 points.
He would be playing for
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh tonight. Yes. Okay.
Pittsburgh. The other thing tonight that I'll be watching for on Monday Night Football, for those of you listening to us around the country, not in D.C., not familiar with Tony Kornheiser, Tony Kornheiser, I'm a fan of Tony Kornheiser.
As am I.
Always have been.
However, let me just say this. I'm pretty goddamn sick of opening up the Washington Post every day and seeing one quarter of a page devoted to him getting his nice jerk on about how nice he's being treated now and about how wonderful Brian Billick is and what a success he is on Monday Night Football. And today was the worst. Today was apology to Jacksonville. Because when the Super Bowl was in Jacksonville a couple of years ago, Tony Kornheiser wrote a column saying, why would they have a Super Bowl in Jacksonville? It's an armpit, it sucks, etc., etc. Well, now that he's got the job, and he's got to actually go to Jacksonville to go to a game, he's like, read today's newspaper.
I saw it, and man, I like Tony so much. I really do. He's a good guy. He's been a pretty good friend to you and
me.
What?
Here's the thing.
But man, Tony, damn it, please. When's he going to start doing the funny stuff?
When's he going to be like when
he's talking serious football all the time?
Like when he's on PTI,
he's totally different.
Is what you want.
Right.
That's what you want. You want the opinion. I mean, couldn't you picture Howard Cosell if he was alive at one point looking around some of these stadiums and going, what is the National Football League doing in Jacksonville, Florida? I mean, that's a valid point. Right. Jacksonville's an armpit.
Yeah, and
people that live in Jacksonville know that.
I really just want to see. I don't know. I mean, how do you tell a guy to be funny? I mean, but it's not what I expected. I was so excited about this broadcast team. I have heard through the grapevine that Mike Tirico, Theismann and Kornheiser were just doing unbelievably well in their practice broadcast. And now it's just...
You know what a lot of the problem is?
It's flat. There's no
a lot of the problem
tension.
Is, you know that Tony Kornheiser wants to say to Theismann at least at some point, you played 20 years ago. Shut up!
Is he afraid of him? Is it a physical fear?
I don't know.
Joe can be extraordinarily, as we both know, extraordinarily intimidating.
It might be.
And he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, so you've got that fear thing going.
I think you and I could intimidate Tony Kornheiser physically, which says a lot about his standing as a man.
Because I'm trying to figure out, because I thought, the one thing Joe does have, he's been on this show, he can take a ball busting. I mean, he's a professional athlete. Why don't we get back? I don't understand. I saw a promo, you know, one of their post-game things. Oh, they were previewing. They were previewing the Monday night game on ESPN. And it was just,
like the three of them sitting in the booth.
Oh, my God. It's the flattest thing I've ever seen.
However, on the other hand, if you watch the Sunday night game, as most people do, the best part of that now is that they don't make any bones about it, no matter how good or bad the score is. And no bones is no pun intended, because they do a food segment with Madden. Just like to prove what a huge pig he is.
Right.
Because they're in Dallas, and it was still tight at that time. The score was still like 17-10 or something. Come out of a break, and it's a picture of a guy in some flop house eatery, and he's just making this sandwich on Texas toast that just looks like it should be called Heart Attack Number One. And rather than even talking about the game, Al Michaels right away says, well, John, it's time to talk about food. There's one of those sandwiches you got me to try yesterday. What do you call that thing? And then for the next 5 minutes...
Well, he comes by it honest.
It's Madden just about ready to complete.
Yeah, he loves it. He's like, but it's the real deal.
Because he's talking about food.
It's the real deal.
He loves the food.
As much as we were slamming Al Michaels and John Madden, I mean, that appears to be a comfortable broadcast team.
Yeah. I agree. So
I just really would love to see Monday Night Football get a little more.
Come on, Mr. Tony. Open it up tonight.
Come on. Do it.
Don't be a kiss-ass, please. I know.
Say something mean to Theismann to make us all laugh.
I know it's easy to say, and I'd probably do the same thing if I had the job. I probably wouldn't have the balls, but Jesus Christ, Mr. Tony. Come on, man. God damn it. Say it tonight. Say Jacksonville smells like one big fart. I just drove through Jacksonville.
Or say it in a, you know, the way you say it in your column sometimes, in that little sarcastic way.
For God's sakes, say the truth. More Waffle Houses per square inch than any other city.
And then talk about your hair. Because really today in that little three, that stand-up thing there.
Three-guy shot.
Oh, my God. I think he turned to look at Tirico, and I really thought I was looking at Fire Marshal Bill.
I know Tony Kornheiser will be very upset that we said he has no balls. So Tony does have balls.
I want Tony to do what he does.
Get him out.
We're fans of Tony.
I don't think he does. Listen.
He's talking that serious football guy. He gets that. You get that from Tirico, you get that from Theismann, then Tony does the exact same thing.
When people were throwing bricks through the TV because they hated Howard Cosell, you didn't see Howard Cosell go to those cities and go, please love me.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry you don't like me.
Good evening from the entertainment mecca of the East.
Tony, stand up tonight. For God's sake, I want to see it. Good evening. I'm Mike Tirico. I'm Joe Theismann. This city smells like a turd. That's what I want.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be
fun. Ain't going to happen, though.
You just had Theismann to blink.
Yo, get going on his right that surgery, man.
That alleged surgery.
Dude, no, it's not alleged, Mike. I watch in high def. I'd be willing to. I don't think the grief for that was.
See, right there, I'm intimidated by Theismann. He's not even around here.
Bring him on.
Right. Stop doing that with your eyes, Rob.
He's had something done. You know what? Oh Christ, we're running too late for that. Well, this will be the first day we've put off Jerry tapes.
But you know, it's the first day back from vacation.
But I don't want you to think that
and it's a special day.
I don't want you to think. Goddamn right, it's my birthday.
That's what I meant. It's your birthday.
Thank you.
That's what I meant, Don.
I just called you son. Like, not like you're my son, but that southern way. Yeah.
Son.
Did you got this?
Son.
My birthday, son. See, I do have the Jerry tapes ready to go.
Entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. It is the 2006 Jerry Lewis Muscular Dystrophy Telethon.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. I was out there then, wasn't I?
On Labor Day?
Yeah.
Were you?
Yeah,
you
were. Suncoast.
He was?
Yeah, the newest casino.
I should have stopped by.
Tomorrow. You could have walked on, put a big check.
Tomorrow is promised to no one, but if it happens, we'll play you these tapes tomorrow.
Very good.
They're very good tapes.
Thank you, Ed.
Including, you know, I'll just give you a very brief hip you up to the best moment of the Jerry telephone.
Okay.
Although this year there are lots of them. Remember that little kid named Maddie? The one who was like the mascot for Muscular Dystrophy.
Right.
Kid. They used to prop this kid out. He was like best friends with Oprah, Jimmy Carter. All
and unfortunately, he passed away, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now they've got the kid that's taking his place. And somewhere in these hours of tapes, Larry King comes out. And Larry King is with the new...
Who we know is so good with children.
Little kid. And he says to him, he says, so, you're the new Maddie.
Oh.
Now,
oh, what an asshat. What a
swear to God.
Poor asshat.
I swear to God, Rob.
He said that to the kid?
Hold it up. Can you pull that up?
So you're the kid, you're like the kid that died.
So here's the thing. You got this gig for what? I mean, he doesn't say this, but it's like,
right.
2 years tops, right? I mean, then you check out. So,
oh, yeah. God.
So you're the new Maddie.
You're the next to go.
You're the new Maddie.
Unreal.
You're the next sacrificial lamb.
Man.
This is just one of the highlights, but it's really...
This is my personal favorite.
It's a really good one.
And we'll
tease you with this for tomorrow.
Wow. Thank you. Can we put a mic on Riley? Can we get a nice close-up of Riley? How old are you, Ryle?
As a kid.
I'm 8.
You were a friend of Maddie Stefanik's, right?
Yes.
And you're going to be like the new sort of... you're like Maddie's new guy. Right? You're the new Maddie.
Yeah, yes.
What a dink.
Wow.
What a dope. What a dope.
You're
really?
Quieted guy when he's done.
Unbelievable.
That.
You're the new Maddie.
God.
Look terrific. Where do you live?
I live in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, I know that. Western Pennsylvania. How old? You're 8 years old.
Yes.
You go to school?
No, I'm homebound schooled.
Well, you keep growing, keep getting tough. You look great.
He is.
No, considering.
He is the winner. Anyone that puts him on camera with any child, whether inflicted or anything,
is,
you know,
Maddie.
I mean,
go.
Go.
Oh, that's when he's introducing Dave Matthews. He's now Dave Matthews.
Go. Here's the rule.
All right.
Larry does not get to go on TV with kids anymore, especially kids with health problems. Yes. Do not do that.
Amen. All right, so okay, go.
That's in Western Pennsylvania, right? And he puts his frog face down a quarter of an inch from the kid's head.
Jerry Tapes coming up. We'll be right back with Buzzes.
Number 4 Arbitron rated, the Don and Mike show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
And
go.
Now, hold on. Look at that thing. That was half in and half out.
How? Was that Jerry?
Yeah, look at that, Rob. Look at this thing. It's just, it's in and it's out.
Is there a disc in there already?
It sounds like you're describing some sort of an act.
It's something weird.
It's in and it's out.
There you go. Good luck.
How?
Come on and squeeze me. Come on and squeeze me.
You're the new Maddie.
In and out and in and out.
So expiration dates, they don't matter to you.
Away from Harrisburg?
You're the new Maddie.
Tell me, now.
The Don and Mike Show.
There we
are. The recipe for indifference. The Don and Mike Show.
It would have only made you wait for a really good one.
As you can tell,
not exactly with CD quality. Bill Deal of the Rondells.
Label song.
AI. Da 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 da.
Sounds like something you'd hear in a Scorsese film.
Yep. Beach music. That's what we call it. Beach music.
Let's shag. Shag. What do you mean by beach music?
Shag music, right?
Buzz, yes. Speaking of screwing. Hi, Buzz.
Hi. I mean, well, you said shag.
Yeah.
Maybe exactly. Say Buzz likes to screw. And Buzz.
Exactly. Go.
Clean. Buzz brought to you tonight by Ford. Make sure you go to visitdickkelly.com for all the latest Kelly Clarkson videos. Your chance to win Kelly Clarkson's Mustang GT convertible. Brought to you by Ford.
I know we have news coming up, but may I read just a brief two sentences from USA Today?
Please do.
Football continued its winning streak at theaters this weekend as Gridiron Gang topped the box office. The Dwayne The Rock Johnson drama, based on a football coach who leads a team of juvenile detainees, took in $15 million, according to studio estimates. I believe I predicted this decades ago.
He's a major star.
And it's come true. He is box office dynamite. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He is a movie star. It's set. I said he'd be a big star.
He's not box office poison.
He is carrying the day at theaters everywhere.
And that's a win for you.
Way to go, Rock.
You have another year before that even has to happen.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's right.
Ahead of schedule.
Can you smell what the Rock is cooking?
You're now is Buzz.
I'm Don and Mike. Okay, here's the question. If you need a transplant, would your body reject another man's penis? Doctors in China reported today they have successfully performed the first such operation in history.
Get me Ron Jeremy on the phone.
Their patient was a man whose thing had been damaged beyond repair in an accident. Nature of the accident wasn't explained, and does it really matter anyway?
Hello, Herschel Sandler.
This guy, yeah, but he's no Peter North. This guy... Now, this guy, our patient here in China, was down, after the accident, was down to about a third of an inch. As the doctors writing in the medical journal put it, his quality of life was affected severely. So, with the family's permission...
A third of an inch, you know what we call that?
What?
Huge.
He has a Michael Hughes penis.
I'd forgotten. So with the family's permission, they removed the penis of a younger man. Who
we don't
was...
know, it's a fact. Our general manager has the penis the size of a newborn infant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, no. It's not that big.
When he's around.
Oh, yeah, okay. 30, maybe 30 minutes.
Yes, yes.
So with the family's permission, they removed...
When he's turgid.
Turgid. They removed the penis of a younger man who was brain dead. What could possibly go wrong? Well, for one thing...
Michael Hughes is brain dead, too.
Yeah. For one...
God, two for two. Baby penis and small brain.
Such a difficult life.
For one thing, the new thing was no big thing. 4 inches. In a world that averages closer to six.
Buzz, when you
not that any of us here keep track of that.
Well, where was this happening?
China.
Well, isn't that the stereotype?
That is a stereotype.
Hey, listen, when you got a quarter...
Mm-hmm.
Four must seem like a mile.
Yeah, I think if you were going to do a transplant, you know, go harvest it from maybe one of the Caribbean countries.
Perhaps he was hoping for more.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, for a variety of reasons, the operation was successful.
On the scale, which I'm imagining would look something like an abacus.
Right.
We really want to do this all in stereotypes.
Right.
I would think if you were a short Asian guy, you know, because remember, they're short.
I think I just said that. Asian guys are short.
4 inches, I don't want to sound too gay, 4 inches might look just right.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, have you seen that? Have you seen that Geico commercial with Vern, what's his name, from Austin Powers, the midget guy?
Vern Troyer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's in a lot of stuff.
Yes.
I was looking at him. Now, I'm thinking about this right now on the fly, if you pardon the pun.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably about 4 or 5 inches, and on him, it probably looks normal.
I saw Scott the Dwarfs one time.
Did you tell me he had a full-size regular...
Yeah, normal and looked big on him.
Regular size.
And very popular.
I mean, he wasn't, like, in any state or anything like that, but he was at...
Virginia.
We were at a, you know, we were having a few cocktails, and there were some women, and he said, yeah, because I think one of the women said, hey, are you normal? You know, and he was indignant. He said, am I? And bam, right away, like, you want to see? Wow.
You know who else has a tiny penis is Daniel Snyder.
Mm-hmm. Next to him he wants.
Very small penis.
Not going to change.
He can pick up the Redskins on his penis, though. On his Redskins penis radio.
He's the only one. Maybe it wasn't size. Maybe that wasn't the issue. For a variety of reasons, though, the successful operation quickly turned to failure. Quoting Dr. Who, because of a severe psychological problem, the recipient and his wife, the transplanted penis, regretfully had to be cut off.
Ah!
An exam showed no sign of it being rejected by the body. It was rejected by its new owner. He wanted it removed.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, the shuttle that smelt it dealt it. Astronauts on the International Space Station smelled something just awful this morning. Nearly 220 miles away from the Earth's atmosphere, they put on masks and gloves and activated an alarm. There's the alarm now. Turns out a non-life-threatening vapor was leaking near an oxygen vent. Apparently, this smelled nasty. And NASA says masks were not really necessary. Potassium hydroxide, often used in batteries, can cause burns and lung damage. Anyway, the problem's been fixed. And according to NASA spokesman, things are calming down.
Fancy digs you got here. Fancy digs you got here.
The question is, how now does the International Space Station smell just 2 days before the arrival of its first tourist? And that brings us...
Oh, is that the woman?
Yeah, the woman going up on Wednesday.
And how much is she paying?
It was like 20 million. I don't remember the figure. Or her figure, for that matter.
Hey. Pull her finger. I don't know why I said that. I just thought it sounded right.
Thank you for helping me, because I totally stopped the show when I just really had a true question.
A fair question. A reasonable question.
And for some reason, I'm just picturing her bigger now. Mm-hmm. It just works with the story and the sound effects you were playing there. Just, if she was a big bone
I've
woman.
Seen a picture of her. She's not that big.
Oh, she's not?
Yeah, she all right.
I'd like her to, I picture her as Lulu from Hee Haw.
But all this talk of aroma brings
you... Would you hit her, Rob?
Yeah, I would.
Thanks.
And I'd hit Lulu Roman.
Lulu Roman.
Wow.
Her full name. God rest her soul.
You stand alone there. All this talk of smell brings us to the more than 100 Americans who have suffered bloody diarrhea thanks to some fresh spinach. The FDA is calling it a significant E. coli outbreak, and now all fresh spinach is being removed from the stores until we can sort this out. Bagged, unbagged, whatever. This after the outbreak was traced to a second lettuce supplier, and some of the spinach...
Popeye!
Has been.
Yeah, yeah, Olive, yeah.
You got the runs.
Yeah, buddy, sit here. What am I going to do? Yeah,
I don't believe he does, actually.
Yeah.
Some of the spinach has been traced to food companies that use fresh spinach in their products. Cooked spinach is safe. Uncooked spinach, even washing it, won't help.
Oh, yeah.
None of this would have happened, of course, if we'd followed Popeye's example.
I'm like the garbage.
If we'd do like him and eat it out of the can, we wouldn't have this problem.
Yeah,
when we come
you're
back...
You're a goddamn genius!
Thank you very much. Yeah.
When we come back, being Pope means never having to say you're sorry.
Whoa, look out! Look out!
There's the Pope.
Oh, hi, Buzz.
Hi!
Oh, yeah. We'll be right back.
Yeah,
diarrhea.
Who are you?
I'm Popeye. The Sailor Man.
Whoa, look out! Look out!
That's a little Richard. Sound almost a little bit like Jackie for the Murder.
Well, you don't have to feed me spinach. Give me diarrhea.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
That's the word from Planet Crackpot.
The Don and Mike Show.
Well,
how do you handle a hungry man with the Don and Mike Show?
Of our ratings,
up to number 3 we are right now. We'll have another one of our We Still Suck at the Ratings parties coming up.
Today is
my birthday.
Today's the 18th of September.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Mike. We will have a party for you in the next week.
Wow.
Stay tuned. Because we got to do one in September.
Directamundo ahead.
There you go. This segment brought to you by Ford. Bold moves from Ford. Bold moves from Rob.
Yes.
Who was really close to being fired today. Here now is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yeah, you weren't today. You did.
That was before the vacation.
Every day. No, but he had a lot of jobs he had to do today.
And he got them all done?
Got them all done.
Way to go, Rob.
Got them all done. Get a brand new 24-hour contract. Congratulations.
And while I'm on the subject, happy birthday to all of you guys, whenever
thank
they fall.
Thank you, Mike. That is so thoughtful.
I'm first. Thank you.
For the whole coming year.
That's right.
Some bad news about Willie Nelson. His tour bus pulled over in Louisiana on a routine traffic stop.
Trooper smelled the big cloud of marijuana.
Come on, it's Willie.
Marijuana smoke drifting out of the bus. They confiscated a pound and a half of pot and some mushrooms.
That would have gotten Willie to the third exit.
I think we all feel safer now.
Mm-hmm.
Being Pope means never having to say you're sorry, according to a Vatican expert.
He editorialized this.
I know
did you catch that?
I know he did. You know, he's got a couple of his pot causes.
Yes.
But more so than Willie Nelson, it's...
He was indignant that they pulled Willie's bus over.
It's the Chong Bong.
That's perhaps one of the greatest travesties of American justice.
Tommy Chong.
Tommy Chong doing a hard time.
Pisses you off the most.
Yeah, right? Hard time for selling innocent-looking glass sculptures. Being Pope means never having to say you're sorry, according to a Vatican expert. Historically, popes do not apologize.
That's not in the vernacular. We're not supposed to do that. Your basic Pope code says no matter what you do inadvertently or whatever, you don't apologize.
Hey, Pope.
Yes, Donnie.
Vas is los.
Vas is vas. What was the toilet? Your eyes spies right here, all that good stuff. Greetings from Germany. I'm Pope John Ratzinger. Ratzinger, sorry.
They don't usually apologize, but this is different.
I could call you a pothead, Burbank, and not have to apologize.
Apparently not.
Right.
And just as we were about to achieve world peace, the Pope comes out with this Islam is evil and inhuman thing.
Real sorry. Oops, I slipped.
Pope.
Discount that.
Pope Benedict XVI was making a speech in his home country of Germany the other day, and he was quoting some medieval text that Muslims are all like evil and inhuman. Now the Pope is apologizing in a popey kind of way.
Yep, sorry that I made you feel that way.
Quoting the Holy...
That's my apology.
Something like that. Quoting the Holy Father, I am deeply sorry for the reaction...
Sorry you overreacted.
...in some countries to a few passages of my address.
Sorry you violent people overreacted.
There appear to have been...
Sorry you evil violent people overreacted.
You're a good German.
Thank you.
There appear to have been a few reactions, including the murder of a nun and the usual rioting and the burning of U.S. and Israeli flags.
Collateral damage there, Buzzy.
Security on the pontiff has been stepped up. Pope Benedict now says the text he referenced doesn't reflect his views.
Hope they do better than they did with the first guy, you know? What's his name?
That's why we have the Pope-mobile now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. They moved that in after he got shot.
Right, bang, bang.
The good one. The one I always hear about.
His Holiness
24/7.
Says he used the text to try to promote better dialogue between Islam and the rest of the world.
The Joe Montana of the Pope.
Yeah, tough act to follow. Yeah, but I still get the gig. That's what I'm looking at.
He's the GOAT, right? Greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time. I cannot wear his jock.
Mr. Ratzenberger.
The life I live, boys.
Mr. Ratzenberger hasn't been Pope very long. When you're new, you make mistakes.
Sure.
Some Hail Marys, he's probably good.
But you don't admit to them. That's the pleasure of being Pope.
You know, the thing, hold on there, but the thing about it is that the Pope can apologize, and that's fine, because it's politically correct and whatever. Mm-hmm. What I don't get is that why the United States is this politically correct. I was reading this on vacation, and about blew a gasket. Next Monday night, we're reopening the Superdome
mm-hmm.
for the New Orleans Saints game. We are giving, not we, I mean America, they're giving credentials to Al Jazeera.
Wow.
To cover this game.
Wow.
Because we don't want to appear to be a country that will not allow all voices to be heard.
Right.
Wouldn't we hope? Pope at this one point, though.
All right, I'll say it for you.
Thank you, Pope.
Kiss off, evil people.
Thank you.
This is Pope Ratzenberger. Ratzinger. Sorry there, Rob. Sorry, you sweat the details, son. There you go. Bless you.
He's held onto the job all week.
Good job. Congratulations.
Good job.
Nicely done.
Up next, weird sex news, including the necrophilia case that died.
Okay, you tell him, druggy boy.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating.
Yeah.
And entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
They never shame the beast. Don and Mike.
Tomorrow we'll have more information about our YouTube commercial contest.
Good.
Big money in strip trivia.
Yay.
Our biggest cash jackpot ever.
Mucho exciting-o.
For the return of strip trivia. But first, here is hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz. You know, you and I could do a show that could be exciting,
right.
Funny,
yep.
Controversial.
Uh-huh.
Buzz is a great audience,
yes.
No matter what we're saying.
Exactly. Right?
But when he hears strip trivia,
he takes on a whole different life, doesn't he?
With a real buzz, because I was like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow. What?
Hi.
You said, what, strip trivia?
How do we coordinate that with one of our shows out in the bar?
In sports, fans.
I'm clean.
Very.
No clean. Diseases, I'm clean.
Cleaner than spinach. In sports, fans at Boston University are being told. What?
So is my underpants. Right now.
Yes, the moment.
Is right now.
Not mine. Fans at Boston University being told to stop yelling things like fag and certain ethnic slurs, even swear words.
He's a fag.
At BU hockey games, university officials say violators will get tossed from the stands. Some students say that'll be hard to enforce because it's tradition.
Racism in Boston?
Just outside of Pittsburgh.
I've never heard of that.
A youth baseball coach just outside of Pittsburgh is accused of offering a young player $25 to bean the autistic kid because he has morals. The player hit the kid's leg instead.
He's mentally retarded.
And in Lancaster, Wisconsin. Finally. A 77-year-old man in Port St. Lucie, Florida has been arrested for upskirting at Walmarts and Kmarts. He told police he's been doing it 13 years with the goal of finding a gal with no underwear. And in Lancaster, Wisconsin, the charges have been dropped against three young men who tried to dig up a young woman's body to have sex with it. They didn't know the girl. They found her photo in the obituary section of the paper and thought she was kind of cute.
She is so hot. I really dig that chick.
Dig, get it? I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No.
And that's it. We'll try to do better tomorrow.
I know I will.
See you then, everybody. Good day to you, sir.
Good day. Happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Hey, on head.
Well, I got to bring that shovel back to those guys.
That's funny.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.